Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Wednesday, the 31st day of March 2010. We're going to be live here for the next 4 hours. We have the former head of the FBI crime lab joining us in the last hour to talk about government frame-ups. He heads up the National Whistleblower Association, Dr. Frederick Whitehurst. In the first, second, and third hour, we're going to cover important news and continue to break down the clear fact that the federal government is staging provocateur events to prepare the public mind for staged terror attacks very, very soon to be blamed on the Tea Party / anti-New World Order movement and, of course, yours truly. There were 5 mainstream news articles yesterday, 2 of them from Fox News alone, in their terrorist section, the terror section of FoxNews.com, attacking yours truly in a very deceptive way. And Fox News admits in one of the articles, and these are, by the way, both been linked up on Drudge, one of them is still up there, they specifically say that Fox News reported us to Homeland Security. No doubt Glenn Beck is behind this. Absolutely no doubt. Because they know I'm here exposing the fact that they control the right and Obama controls the left and they're all on the same team. And we are exposing that they are clearly staging these events, the stack attack a few months ago in Austin, the Pentagon attack. Of course, 2 years ago, we exposed that the Mumbai terror attack was staged. And that was also in Indian newspapers and German newspapers. Well, here it is from JBS.org, a great piece of journalism by Alex Newman. Mumbai terrorist was U.S. agent. It is now admitted in mainstream news. They just report on what's hidden in plain view that David Coleman Hadley was a U.S. government agent running the attacks. Running the attacks. So it turns out that I was right, Webster Tarpley was right, Paul Watson was right, and all the other expert guests we had on were right, that this was a U.S., British/Israeli operation meant to be blamed on Pakistan as a pretext to bring more U.S. forces into the country and increase predator drone attacks. And let me explain something. I've had feds show up when I'm just there with a video camera at a military event, legally and lawfully to cover it, and start trying to set fires to blame it on me. My cameramen can't go to Pittsburgh without the police and military saying they were trying to attack the military base, just completely made up. I mean, this has happened to me. This has happened to my crew. We have a lawless, completely criminal government. In 96, Dr. Frederick Whitehurst left the FBI crime lab saying there was systemic organized fraud framing people by the thousands. We're 14 years later. I mean, I see articles all the time about the Houston Police Crime Lab framing thousands, the Dallas Crime Lab, Tulia, Texas, framing people. Just where I live, it's just mass frame-ups. Just the government is just full of rotten scum. And they're murdering people. They're funding terrorists. They're killing people. They're robbing everybody. They're getting ready to take the pension funds. They've already taken some. And I'm just here telling the truth. And for that, I've got CNN, MSNBC, Fox, Media Matters, George Soros, New York Times, Time Magazine, Newsweek, all attacking us. And we need your prayers. We need your support. And of course, it's come out that the FBI was there provocateuring the Qatari militia. 9 hillbillies up in Michigan, poor people. We'll be right back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, desperately trying to awaken the people of the United States and the world that completely ruthless and wicked, cold-blooded private corporate leaders who have developed structures of power and corporate and governmental cultures of complete and absolute lawless criminality. We are here doing the best we can to stop this absolute looting of our society. I don't know how I put an exclamation point at the end of what I'm about to say. I don't know how to get your attention so that people realize just how dire our straits are as a people. They have multiple regulation packages going through the House and Senate right now that clamp down on all financial transactions, that massively increase taxes. Federal regulators are going in and threatening all the major pension funds to invest their money with banks in, quote, failed derivatives, or they'll basically be shut down. They are openly moving to take your pension funds. They are openly moving to radically expand inheritance taxes. They are jacking up environmental taxes. They are militarizing and totally federalizing the police. They are brainwashing school students and turning them against their families. Laptops are watching children in their homes. Children are thumb scanning to get their school lunches. The borders are wide open. They're preparing to legalize all the illegals and make U.S. citizens have worker IDs to be able to work. It is unspeakable. Here's New York NBC, synagogue bomb suspects. The feds put us up to it. You want a liver? You want $200,000? Just say you're thinking about it. You don't have to bomb the synagogue. Just say you're thinking about it. Here's another headline. Mumbai terrorist was U.S. agent. This came out a year and a half ago. But now it's in U.S. news. Mumbai terrorist was U.S. agent after terrorist conspirator and former U.S. government agent David Coleman Hadley received promises of leniency and extradition protection from American prosecutors for his role in the 2008 Mumbai massacre. Speculation about his true masters was set ablaze as outrage erupted across India. Hadley, a former Drug Enforcement Administration agent and the son of a Pakistani diplomat, it's always diplomats' sons that lead these, pled guilty to various criminal charges March 18th in connection with his terrorist activities in India, Pakistan, and Denmark. He is reportedly cooperating with investigators. In exchange, the government vowed not to allow foreign authorities to question him or subject him to trial. Prosecutors also agreed not to seek the death penalty, and he may not even serve a life sentence. Links to U.S. intelligence agencies will remain classified. It's like Hal Turner. And his guilty plea ensures that there will be no drawn-out trial that could publicly reveal any relationships with various intelligence agencies, notably the Central Intelligence Agency and linked Pakistan Inter Service Intelligence. He now admits in the plea bargain to the bloody massacre to helping Planet by coordinating surveillance and selecting targets, gathering GPS coordinates for the terrorist team's boat landings along the coast, and more. He was also helping to plan an attack on a Danish cartoonist. That was all part of the fake fear to get the riots going. And while the Federal Bureau of Investigation was given almost 10 hours of questioning, the only surviving attacker in India, a team of Indian investigators who traveled to the U.S. to interrogate Headley, was turned away. I'm going to go over this more later. It's just, it's always the same. Here's the Times of London. FBI lured dimwits into terror plot. The arrest of petty crooks over plan to target Jews has put the use of sting operations under fire. These aren't sting operations. They go find welfare people, quasi-homeless. In some cases, they give them millions of dollars, drugs, livers, Ferraris, to just talk about how they were planning violence. And I have studied the hillbilly militias. That doesn't mean all the militias, but the certain type of militia. I have been to events, land rights events, proto Tea Party events, where there are militia people. And you can spot the feds leading them. And the feds that lead these militias are always COINTELPRO and always attack me. I'll be there telling militia groups, look, don't call for violence. This happened in several cases. Happened once with a standoff with the Gray family. And they had these so-called militia commanders there saying, Alex is a Fed, don't listen to him, you know, he's bad. And then it came out in major newspapers in Texas that those guys were, quote, former sheriff's deputies, and that it was an intelligence operation. I mean, but it doesn't matter. They know how to go to well-meaning but ignorant, uneducated hillbilly people and just totally play them. I mean, I've been doing this for 14, almost 15 years, immersed in it. I have been there. I have seen basically everything. And I told you Monday and Tuesday, I said this was role-playing with the Hatari. You get a tiny militia. They think the end of the world's coming. They start arming themselves, getting ready for the end of the world. A lot of really poor people do this now because it's like a cop-out from the bills going unpaid and financial problems. It doesn't matter. The end of the world's about to happen. And so they just get out in the woods and hunker down, and then in come the feds. And I predicted Monday and Tuesday that it would be an interface from another militia Fed run. And then Anderson Cooper last night, there they were with all their Southern Poverty Law Center experts and others saying, oh, yes, it was actually other militias that tipped us off. And now we have the Wall Street Journal. It was an FBI informant posing as another militia leader that went in and got them to talk about role playing, like what happens if you ever get attacked, or what happens if this end of day scenario unfolds. And then the brother of Stone from San Antonio, Texas, went on Anderson Cooper as well last night and said, look, my brother made a board game. This is all role playing. This is like military reenactments to another level, or paintball to another level. Because, see, I've been around these people. I've seen it. One time I got invited out to a shooting range, and it was these militia guys, and they were all acting like they were Rambo and putting, you know, green caps on their heads and acting all paranoid, and it was like a make believe or something. And then I get emails going, why are you saying it's stupid to dress up in camo and run around in the woods? Well, all these so-called militia groups shoot these videos of themselves and play, you know, thematic music behind them, and camouflage is for Southeast Asia. Camouflage is for classical warfare with two armies going up against each other. If it's the desert, it's khaki. If it's the mountains, it's a gray uniform. If it's jungle. It's jungle pattern. But they run around in these jungle pattern camo. I mean, and I always just point out that it's basically like war reenactment. The real urban warfare uniform would be a repairman's outfit. I mean, can you imagine people running around in the middle of the city in camouflage? It's ridiculous, ladies and gentlemen. And the modern militia movement, and I've really studied it in this country, was founded by the feds in the early 1990s. They knew that people were going to get armed as they saw the approaching tyranny. So they wanted to form the militias, have them dress up in ridiculous, mismatched outfits, have them run around and make incendiary comments so they could then demonize anybody that was criticizing the government before the feds started bombing their own installations like Oklahoma City, to then demonize all the different state houses that were speaking out against the UN takeover, the national parks, and other issues, and gun control and the UN treaties. They led the opposition. Most of these big militia groups are Fed run. It's just a bunch of federal informants. You look at them, it's a bunch of crooks. I've been to events, I've met these people. They're cops. They're dirty cops out there trying to find well-meaning Christians they can set up and destroy. And of course, we've been proven right again about this. And so they find a bunch of hillbillies and get them to talk about different scenarios, and then they send them all to prison. Makes me sick. I'm going to open the phones up coming up in the next segment, but please have your point or your question ready, because we're going to give each caller about a minute. 1-800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. So again, the government set the flavor of the militia. There are a lot of good militias, a lot of great patriots who are out there educating people, spreading the word, saying that they want to help the local sheriff, they want to stand up against criminality. You had the Minutemen that are for real, that the feds have set up and arrested and had illegals assault them, and then they criminally charge these ranch owners. They try to take their property. There have been hundreds of ranches that have had their homes burned. I mean, every few months I see an article where Southern Arizona, 14 homes burned down over the night by illegals. And there was an article yesterday where a rancher was murdered. Illegal immigrant suspected in murder of Arizona rancher. There's another report out today. Lawmakers demand administration deploy National Guard Border Patrol after killing. And, of course, that was in Arizona. I've had the sheriffs in three different cases on in South Texas who've had Mexican troops come 2 miles, 3 miles, 6 miles over the border and surround their squad cars and point guns to their heads and take away drug shipments that the police had interdicted. And it'll be in the local paper. That's how we find out about it, but it's never national news. I mean, you talk about a real criminal operation, serious danger. I read the San Antonio Express News last week here on air. In fact, here it is. Drug war is killing Mexico border cities. It's just completely collapsing. Almost everything's boarded up. The hotels are shut down. It was pretty nice down there 10, 15 years ago. I mean, you talk about a real threat, but no, the feds can't be down there at the border. They stick their tail between their legs when somebody actually shoots at them. No, they're just out setting up poor people that are scared of the New World Order, and rightfully so, all over this country. I've seen it so many times. I've had them try it with me. I've had feds, as I talked about yesterday, in one case in Florida, I'm just there trying to cover a military drill in the city, and a guy just runs up and starts lighting fires to things, saying, I'm doing it. And I'm having to, like, stomp on it and physically push the guy to the ground and say, get away from me. I mean, and it turned out the guy was an admitted Fed. I mean, the feds just run up with lighters and start lighting things. I mean, do you have any idea how criminal these people are? Do you have any idea how dangerous they are? That's why you can call it a military reenactment club. You can call it a shooting club. You can call it a marksman club. And it better be your brother, your cousin, and people you've known for 20 years. And it's good to have friends and to say we're going to stick together if society collapses. But the way to change things is political. You put all the energy you do into all these military drills running around in the woods. You put your energy into that, and you're not going to be constantly surrounded by a bunch of feds that are trying to radicalize you and trying to get you to talk about scenarios. And that's what the leader of the Houthari militia's brother said. He said, look, they did all sorts of scenarios. And now it's coming out they did scenarios of Russians invading, Chinese invading. And then the federal informant talked them in to hypothetically talking about a ridiculous scenario where they would go surveil the police station. And then if the police ever harassed them or ever went after any of their members, that they would then kill one. And then there would be a funeral procession and they would have hypothetical bombs blowing it up. It's basically like Christian Dungeons and Dragons. When I was growing up, I only played it a few times, but lots of neighborhood kids did for hours. I wanted to be outdoors playing baseball or something. You know, these kids would sit around and imagining dragons they were fighting and different magical powers they had. And now people play video games and strategy games, space battles, you name it. But I've noticed these adult men kind of fall into the culture of wanting to be some type of military commander. And you know, they're preparing for all of this. And then they have these scenarios, just like Homeland Security and urban warfare drills. I've been to them where the scenarios are to take on the American people. You know, that was in the New York Times. You just Google. In fact, do this for me. It's the top link. Homeland Security Boy Scouts. And the top link that comes up, as I checked it this morning, is that New York Times story where in the first line it says that the Boy Scouts are being trained to take on disgruntled veterans. Now, there's the government drilling to kill veterans. Does that mean the government's going out to kill veterans? Well, yeah, they do sometimes. We have the MIAC and Homeland Security reports. That's their number one enemy. But it's the same thing. These militias get talked into hypothetical drills, and then the FBI sets them up and says, well, that was actually your plan. And that's what all their neighbors and friends and everybody are saying, is that these guys couldn't build a black powder bomb, much less some giant IED. And they're using that term saying they're like American Al-Qaeda. Sometimes multiple times per day, huge national and international publications, from Fox News to CNN, the London Guardian, the Southern Poverty Law Center, Newsweek, Time Magazine, all the major publications on a daily basis, we're seeing attacks from George Soros. And who are they singling out? Yours truly. Now, I'm telling you that for several reasons. Number one, we have never been in more danger. These are lawless crooks we're fighting. They are capable of anything. But they know that if they do try to set us up, that's going to be a little too obvious. But we do see some of the preparatory probing going on right now. And why are they going after us? That's most important. Because we understand their operation. We are inside their minds. We have studied it to such a level, I have researched this to such a level, that I know exactly what they're up to. And I know what they're going to do before their mid-level and low-level henchmen even know. I understand history. I understand the groups we're dealing with. I understand the different factions. And I know the enemy's game plan. And they cannot stand it. On every issue, the left-right paradigm, fake wars, the government takeover of health care, the carbon tax takeover. You know, they want the Republican Party to sit up there on Fox News and tell you that it's a bunch of tree-hugging, idiot, Birkenstock-wearing, Coke bottle glass-wearing liberals who are taking over all the factories and industry and jobs because they're just dumb and really believe the world's about to die from global warming. The oceans are about to rise. The penguins are all going to drown. The polar bears are going to drown. They don't tell you this is premeditated criminal takeover of society to forcibly shut off resources and reduce population. That's all stated Club of Rome, UN, Prince Philip, Prince Charles, Ted Turner, Bill Gates, all of them. It's on record. They don't tell you from the controlled right wing that the insurance companies wrote this legislation. I happen to have a list here of their lobbying. All the major insurance companies wrote the bill and lobbied for it. We're going to go over numbers coming up later in the broadcast. You see, if you come at it from the truth, none of these liberals are going to support it. When you finally explain it cuts Medicare and Medicaid and raises your taxes. But you come at it, oh, this, the insurance companies are against this. Oh, then the moron left, the grassroots thinks they're, you know, robbing some rich person. Well, they're all for it. And they sit there and lie to their right-wing constituents and tell them the insurance companies are good and, you know, this is just a socialization. No, it's far worse than that. See, they're real mad that I'm here beating that drum. They're mad I'm pointing out the real government, the illegitimate government, is the banks. They're mad I'm talking about the pension funds they're robbing and getting ready to rob them all. They're angry that we'll go up to, say, a Citibank website. A listener will email us, hey, look at this link. They say they're going to start holding people's money for 7 days. Now, all the banks are saying this. We'll write an article about it. Drudge Report links to it. They're mad about that. A lot of original news is generated from this radio show, like the MIAC and Homeland Security reports and the clergy response teams and countless other big breaking stories that really expose what's going on. And I'll also take their conditioning articles like the New York Times saying, oh, look, Boy Scouts are training to take on disgruntled veterans and kill them. Isn't this wonderful? I'll say, no, this isn't wonderful. Nazi Germany did this. Pol Pot's Cambodia did this. See, I'm not even that smart. I've just studied history. I know common sense. I know what we're dealing with, and they're mad. They are hopping mad, ladies and gentlemen. They're hopping mad we're reaching several million people a week, and that is a conservative number. And when they're really mad about the fact that we're reaching hundreds and hundreds of thousands of new people every week and that we're exponentially growing, they can look at all the graphs of Shoutcast and Alexa and all the other big sites and Google Analytics, and they can look at us going up like a rocket. And I am like an InfoWar cruise missile. You know what happens with the missile as well as its target. But is it scaring me? No. I'm in my little computer system at InfoWars, tracking the terrain-following radar system. We're tied into our GPS navigation, the discernment God gives us, and we're tracking, and the missile little ramjet is firing every few seconds and keeping us right on course as we blast right through enemy territory, going straight at the eye of the New World Order. And believe me, it doesn't like it. Because I'm not just one missile in the info war. We are teaching people how to create their own weapons factories in the info war and then deploy the systems. And info warriors are everywhere, popping up from behind rocks with their tank buster missiles and blasting corruption, exposing corrupt cops, drug-dealing government, land-grabbing government, taking over the state houses, educating people about the New World Order. You are out there, an army of info warriors popping up from behind rocks. You have the initiative, you're unstoppable, and you're smashing the enemy. And they know it. Another analogy, it's like 10,000 X-Wings going in against the Death Star. And that's why they're not quite sure how to come at me. They want to demonize me. They want to claim I'm pushing violence. That's been their main attack profile. They listen to my phones. They track everything I do. All they can do is frame me for something. Who knows what it'll be? But folks are going to see through that. And I got God on my side, so I'm not worried about it. Whatever God's will is, you know, if I'm to die in a car wreck today driving home, or if I'm to live to be 95 years old, or if I'm to be grabbed and tortured and drug off to some gulag, that's just the way it is. I cannot stop fighting this evil. The most important thing for you to understand is all of us working together, many hands make light work. That's how we're going to bring down this new world order. And we've got fellow freedom lovers, truth tellers, people that love justice and have a heart of gold and who love God. Our people are everywhere within the system. They are so angry that Kurt Haskell is a 9/11 truther with his wife and was on board that aircraft and saw them get the underwear bomber, the son of the ambassador, the son of the government official on board, and that they discovered the second bomb and the other assets on board the plane and that other witnesses backed them up. And the FBI lied for a month and a half, and then the State Department admitted, okay, U.S. intelligence told us to help him get on the plane. They're hopping mad that more than half the population conservatively are 9/11 truth now. They're trying to hide that fact. But the polls show it's even higher than that. That's conservative. And so our people are everywhere. And so when they bomb a federal building or they attack an IRS building or they kill a bunch of poor cops, our people are everywhere, in the police departments, in the military, in the FBI, in the federal marshals, in every institution, and our numbers are growing. And so I've done my work, ladies and gentlemen. I pray God continues to let me work in service to humanity, and I will continue to move forward with my chest out and my chin up. But it doesn't matter. My work in 14 years of savaging the New World Order is a testament to all of what you can do. But it takes time. It takes commitment. And it takes the will and the strength to not care what the crowd thinks of you. It means nothing if people spit on me. It means nothing if people laugh at me. And I realize that a lot of the public are like teenagers. You know, when you're 12, 13, 14, you're insecure. You don't want to go out to eat with your parents. You're embarrassed of them. You think everybody's looking at you. And I thought when I was 13, 14, when I got over that, And I never really got deeply into it like a lot of people I knew did. I thought other people grew out of that. No, the general public, the average yuppie, or whatever niche group people are in, they're not even real people. They've like taken on a role, and they really care what people think about them. They really care about what their neighbors think. They're really at a subconscious level scared of the government. They know we're in a tyranny. At a deep level. And so they just roll over to whatever happens, and like a trained seal, they just stand up and clap to whatever new evil is being announced. Well, not me. Okay? Not happening. This is a battle of ideologies, a battle of ideas, a battle of the spirit, a battle of will. That's why 90%+ of the globalist operations are psychological. They use the lie and deception and twisting. We have a weapon much more powerful, the truth. And if you'll just go out and start shooting your mouth off in grocery store lines, at church, and be bold, don't be insecure, have a spirit of warning, to warn people, to raise the alarm. Raise the alarm. Nothing can stop you. It is a certification of that we're on the right track, that they're attacking us. Fox News trawls InfoWars comments, reports Alex Jones to authorities. And Watson wrote this quickly late last night. I would ask Kurt Nemo and Paul, because I checked this yesterday and found it myself. You can do a search, just put into Google or whatever search engine you use, hang the president, shoot the president, kill the president. You put that into a search engine, you put YouTube.com after it, you will see thousands of fresh comments saying it. None of those people get investigated. None of them get visited. None of them get harassed. You come on InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com and you say that stuff, not only are you going to get a SWAT team kicking down your door, but I am going to get blamed for it in the media. AP, Reuters, Wired Magazine, Fox. But this is what's interesting. We kept wondering who was trolling, because I got three moderators who go through there, and anything mildly threatening, we erase. And a lot of us provocateured. We follow the IP addresses. And we kept wondering who was doing this and other dirty tricks. Fox News admits that they are on Infowars.com. I mean, I know from inside Fox News that Glenn Beck has four sub-producers, some days five, that listen to every word of the show. They've got a lady that transcribes parts of it. They take what I do and then twist it. I mean, I've confirmed Glenn Beck is an evil clone of me, a doppelganger. I mean, it's obvious watching him, but now we know. And now we know that the lady that wrote these articles has done work for Beck at Fox News. So here we have it publicly admitted. And in Fox News, it says Fox News saw the comments and reported them to Homeland Security. So Fox News had two articles yesterday reporting Infowars.com to Homeland Security. And you can go to Yahoo, YouTube. In fact, we even went to some of the Fox News radio sites that have comments and found the same stuff. But believe me, Fox News isn't getting visits from the government. And the reason they're doing this is they put both these articles in the terrorism section. Remember, it was Fox News 4 years ago that started introducing the idea of white al-Qaeda. And Watson just IM'd me. He must be listening. Perhaps Fox News should check its own website for violent comments. And Watson has done what I asked him to do last night. He has gotten the comments, and he has gotten the evidence and posted it, and he's gotten news clips of them joking about killing Obama on Fox News. In a response to another Fox News article, in fact, Watson, they're going to expunge these. You need to get screenshots of every one of these. I know you're listening, and save it, or they'll say it's not real. In response to another Fox Nation article, respondents called for Marines to start killing people as part of a bloody revolution. Look, Fox News is an intelligence operation. They've got some people there that aren't under their full control, but they only mix them in, people like Napolitano, to try to give themselves some type of credibility. The point is, Fox News is on my website looking for, of literally hundreds of thousands of comments, looking for comments, mild compared to comments on their own websites, to then report us to Homeland Security so they can write articles implying we're behind it and we're doing it and we support it, like the Statesman. By the afternoon of the Joe Stack attack a few months ago in Austin on the IRS building, the Statesman, like we can pull the article up, but to paraphrase, it said many websites are praising it, period. Infowars.com said this. The way it's written for a person just scanning it is, oh, I'm supporting it. New York Daily News had a headline about websites praising the attack and then put my website in there. Same thing with the London Guardian. They know exactly what they're doing, because I'm up here pointing out that it's the government provocateuring or completely staging almost all of these events. And they're mad, ladies and gentlemen, they're mad. I mean, not only does Glenn Beck have to copy and twist everything I do, now they want to get me put in jail. That's how Glenn Beck responds. And I've even been trying to not attack Glenn Beck lately. In fact, XM sent me a bunch of liners to plug my show, and one of them said, coming up next, Glenn Beck. And I did it. I mean, you try to say to yourself, come on, they're not pure evil. It's not an intelligence operation. And then you find out that Glenn Beck's people are trying to put me in prison. I mean, what is your problem, you scumbag? I cannot make myself snitch. You know, if I saw somebody rob my neighbor's house, I'd get my gun and go over there and try to deal with it myself, and then I'd call the cops. There was a gas station openly running whores out of the front of it and drugs. It was a nice gas station. Suddenly there was hardly any food or magazines or anything being sold at it. This is in South Austin off of Manchac when I lived over off Manchac. And these, I think they were Pakistanis bought it. They had hookers out front. It was suddenly horrible. And I'd pull over next to cop cars running speed checkpoints. We're talking 200 yards away and say, yeah, they're running whores right there. And I've watched them selling drugs. And the cops have obviously somebody, their commander or something was on the take. And they would just say, not do anything about it. And I've driven by the whorehouse, the crack house is still running out of a gas station in a lower middle class area. Yeah, they don't care. They've got Americans to suck off of and to squeeze, and CPS needs some kids to kidnap so they can rape them. You know, they got other stuff to do.
He's bound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound just like no bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, some devil mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes.
Eastbound and down.
Eastbound and down. Loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done?
We got a long way to go.
Long way to go. A short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch your bandit run.
Put your foot down on the pedal, son, never mind them brakes. Old Smokey's got his ears on. He's hot on your tail, and he ain't gonna rest till you're in jail. You got to dodge him, you got to duck him, you got to keep that diesel trucking. Whew. Oh, yeah, we're hurting the New World Order. You better believe it. All right, I'm going to your calls here in a moment, but I'm going to get back into this more. Number one, as predicted, FBI agent discovered at center of alleged Houthi conspiracy. New Obama law places Soviet-style capital controls on Americans. ACLU, truancy courts violate the law, threaten parents and children. They finally discovered what we've been covering for 12 years. All over the country, they put kids on probation for missing 1 or 2 days of school when the truancy law doesn't even say that's truancy. And how they harass the children and get them into the criminal system. But, of course, Fox News trawls InfoWars comments, reports Alex Jones to authorities. And, of course, we've discovered far more vicious threats all over the Fox News sites, but they don't care. And my point about snitching is I can't even bring myself to tell listeners to call Homeland Security, to call the FBI, to go get the article up at prisonplanet.com. Perhaps Fox News should check its own website for violent comments. Fox News contributors call for Obama to be killed and authors to be shot, while Fox points the finger at Alex Jones for instigating violence. Yeah, but Sean Hannity's specialty with Hal Turner, his cohort, in Long Island was setting people up in the early and mid-1990s. And those two, of course, worked together. And so Hannity, and I mean, they're all, it's all an operation. I mean, Fox has government approval to be trying to call for violence to flesh out people who they can then set up and create the illusion of a violent revolution that's about to happen, because they want to have a violent one so they can shut down all serious debate. But I tell you, I mean, if I read these articles on air, military husband probed for allegedly posting threats on radical website, then the article implies it's my fault. Here's another one. Feds investigate death threats to IRS employee after health bill approved. And then it goes on to imply we're behind it. Mentions InfoWars.com, Alex Jones over and over again. How about headlines like Fox News calls for killing Obama? In fact, change that, Watson. Let's really go. I mean, come on, Fox News. You can't sit there and take everything I do and twist it and make your Fox Nation website look just like InfoWars.com and then try to get me put in prison or shut down. I mean, you people are sick. You're sickening. And meanwhile, by the way, folks, they really are scared of Police State 4, the rise of FEMA, that proves the FEMA camps and the globalist takeover. Pre-order it now. April's about to start. We'll be shipping it out soon. Those that pre-order get it first. Order Invisible Empire. New World Order Defined at InfoWars.com. And get the films. Get Obama Deception, Fall of the Republic, Endgame. This is our work. This is why we're in so much trouble, because we're effective.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live, ladies and gentlemen. 3 hours span out before us. It is the 31st day of March, 2010. I'm going to go to your phone calls, then I'm going to get more into Fox News, trolls, InfoWars, comments, reports Alex Jones to authorities. Boy, that's the pot calling the kettle black. Also, as predicted, FBI agent discovered at center of alleged Atari conspiracy. I'm going to break down how the militia really works, how they're doing a replay of the mid-1990s right now, and the staged terror attacks that I believe are coming in the next few months, probably towards the end of next month, April. By getting the word out, we may short-circuit their operation. That's one reason they're really coming after us right now. It's also come out that the Mumbai attacks were run by a U.S. government agent. That's in the federal affidavit. It is all coming up, but I do want to go ahead and start taking some of your calls first. Let's talk to Matthew in Mass. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Jones. How are you today?
I guess I'm doing all right.
That's excellent. Two things very quick, and then I'll take your answers off the air. Number one, a question for you. I have a loved and intelligent family member who is exceedingly liberal and cannot see through the constant smokescreen emitted by mainstream media concerning violence toward the current administration, allegedly being committed by patriots like us. Could you please give me some advice and some links about past and present manipulation to demonize any certain group for alleged violence to fulfill their own agenda? And number two, and very quickly, I hear you often as a guest on another hugely popular morning show. It would seem that you sometimes, I hate to even say this because I love you so much, sensationalize or try to grab the attention of the listener. If I could give you a little bit of a critique, Mr. Jones, I've listened to you for about 5 years. I'm a huge follower. I make flyers. I post your articles. Could you just calm down a bit sometimes when you're on that show? And just give the facts instead of trying to really get your point across, because sometimes I listen to you on that show and you sound like a wholly different person than you do on your own show. And if you're trying to garner listeners from that show, maybe you should be that same person that you are on the Alex Jones show.
Okay, let's be clear. You're talking about Man Cow?
Yes, sir, I am.
Yeah, I was on there for like 50 minutes this morning. Have you noticed I get about 30 seconds, and then he goes to something else for about 2 minutes, and I'm back for 30 seconds. I am trying to get it is sensational that laptops that schools are giving kids are watching them at home. It is sensational that scouts are training to fight terrorists and more in the New York Times, and the next line says, taking on and killing disgruntled veterans. It is sensational that fluoride gives people cancer and causes bone fractures as being put in the water. I think we've been effective, and quite frankly, Matthew, I think you're here giving me advice, and perhaps I am a little bit more astute at this than you, but if you listen to the format of that, that's a short attention span theater radio show where they jump back and forth between other guests and other news clips, and so that's the format of the show. He'll say, what is the end game of the New World Order? And I will say, to bring in an oppressive planetary regime and kill 80% of the population. Well, that's the truth. The truth is sensational. Mao Zedong killing more than 60 million people is sensational. Pol Pot killing over 30% of the Cambodian population over 8 years is sensational. World government being announced is sensational. Failed banks may get pension fund backing as FDIC seeks cash. Business Week. That is sensational. Headline, Mumbai terrorist was U.S. agent. Sensational. Fox News reporting me to Homeland Security. Sensational. Okay? Feds showing up at events trying to start fires and blame it on me. Sensational. Okay? Sensational. Sensational, Matthew. Sensational. Truth is stranger than fiction. We need to get people woken up out of their sleep. We need people to realize how serious things are. We need people to know about the $1.5 quadrillion that the banks have created out of nothing to buy up everything. How they're seizing the main highways, turning them into toll roads. Sensational. I'll answer your other question when we get back with more sensational truth.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, we're going to your phone calls. Matthew and Massive, you just joined us, was saying, why do I hear you on other shows and you sound more sensational? Well, when I've got a few minutes on a radio show, I will say, warning, warning, your house is on fire, America. Banks are looting you. They're robbing you. They're preparing to take the pension funds. Schools all over the country are giving laptops to the kids that watch them at home. And then I'll tell people to check out the Enemy Belligerent Interrogation, Detention, and Prosecution Act of 2010 that states that U.S. citizens for any potential intelligence reason or such other matters as the president considers appropriate may be secretly arrested and be given enhanced interrogation and never seen again. No courts have power over it. Only the Intelligence Committee of the House or Senate can call for an investigation or their release. That is sensational. What is it about governments killing hundreds of millions of people last century and world government openly being announced by a bunch of eugenicists? What isn't sensational about that? One of the leaders of the environmental movement, the founder of the Gaia movement, was in the London Guardian yesterday calling for a global authoritarian system to enforce environmental laws because, quote, the public's too stupid to allow the government to do it and that we need an elite group to control our lives. Or the Financial Times of London with the headline, and now for world government, saying it needs to be authoritarian. Yes, we built it in secret for your own good. That is sensational. They tell you to be calm and just, oh, don't get upset and don't get angry, or, oh, it may cause violence. No, it may cause people to wake up. And then Matthew had another question. He said, well, I've got a family member who's a liberal, and there's all these, you know, violent attacks, threats, people being called the N-word going on, Democratic offices being attacked. You know, how do I get through to them that most of this is staged? Well, you listen to the show, and you hear me read the Denver Post. In fact, what was that exact headline? 08 attack on Democratic offices. Arrest made in 08 attack on Democratic offices. And then it goes on to say it was people that worked there that did it. Or you just search the term black fraternity spray-painted swastikas on their own building. You'll get a whole bunch of cases of it. Or Jewish student spray-painted swastika or put swastika on her own dorm room. And then the school got video of it. Number one, there were hundreds of cameras in that chamber when those congressmen supposedly got called the N-word. And there's no recordings of it, no video of it. One guy just says it happened. So what if it happened? People are always calling each other names. It turns us into a bunch of ninnies that if somebody says something, it's the end of the world. You know, why don't black people get upset about 52% of blacks never being born in this country since Roe v. Wade? More blacks being aborted than are born. That's another reason the system doesn't like me. I actually don't want the black people to be dead. I don't dislike black people. I know black people have been taught to be racist, many of them, and taught to hate whitey. I know a lot of Hispanics have been taught that. I don't hate them. I tell it like it is. Oh, but black leaders will all get up in arms saying somebody called them an N-word. But meanwhile, those black leaders push for the abortion rules and the abortion funding to kill more than half their people. Let's get our priorities set here. I was watching Anderson Cooper last night because you heard the producer say it didn't air Friday, but it should air tonight. And it didn't air. I could care less. I just wanted to see what they did. And they had Dr. Phil on for two segments talking about bullying, and there's a death every month from bullying. Why don't people teach their kids to not care if they get bullied? I mean, let me tell you what happened to me. I'd get off the school bus at my friend's house. This happened a couple times, and black guys 2 or 3 years older would come over and start assaulting us, calling us crackers and honkies. You think I hate black people because I've been racially assaulted by black people? No, by the time I was 15, when black guys came up, I learned the joy of beating the hell out of somebody. Now, I mean, maybe some kids growing up can't deal with this, but I'd come home with two black eyes and a busted lip when I was 12, and my dad would say, you best better learn to whoop their ass. Excuse me talking like that. I guess I'm just a red-blooded Texan. I don't know who the rest of you people are. And you know what? If people are bullying your kids at a school, get them out of that school. Who would put their children in a public school? After what I saw in public school, the sex, the drugs, the bullying, the fighting in Dallas, Texas, I mean, it was like worse than any movie I've ever seen about a rough high school. And I didn't go to a rough high school. But let me tell you, I didn't just have black people gang up on me. I had Mexicans do it. I got a pin in my leg. Were four Mexicans, there were five of them, and only four were attacking me, broke my leg. But you know what? I had good old boys. I had good old boys pile on me as well. White guys wearing Roper boots. That's just what bullies do. Excuse me, I won't even use that mild language. I apologize. It's just, now they've charged nine youths for throwing tin cans in the lunchroom and calling some Irish girl names. And it's wrong what they did, but they're being charged with felonies. And now people are going to say, your kid bullied. And they're going to go to jail. And then they're going to learn how to be real bullies. See, this is just a way to criminalize everybody. Dr. Phil's saying yelling at your children's even worse than spanking them. We need to take people's children that yell at them so the CPS can rape them. Oh, yeah, they're statistically the worst group out there, a bunch of pedophiles. Oh, it's incredible. It's amazing. The world isn't perfect. It's a rough place. And the government isn't going to protect you. It's like the mafia coming into an area, a neighborhood, and saying, pay me protection money, I'll protect you. You'd be a lot better to fight off the street-level thugs than to go to the Don for help. Here's the article. 08 race worker held in damage to Colorado Democratic HQ, Denver Post. Give that to your family member. I mean, Alec Baldwin called for Republican leaders to be killed. Don't you remember that? I mean, this is what goes on in politics. And I'm the one here speaking out against all of this. I'm the one trying to keep people from getting violent, and that's why they're coming after me. All right, I said I'd go to your calls, and I've got to get to all this news. There's just so much of it. It's insane. You're not going to hear any hand-wringing or crying or whining all over the news. You're not going to hear them crying for all the ranchers being burned out and murdered all over Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada, and California. No, they decide what to make you ninny about and to get all scared of. Keith in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
On Thursday, March 25th at 6:08 p.m., there was a login attempt to the Funkmaster 5 Facebook page from a computer whose IP location has been traced to Israel.
Okay, so you had people trying to hack your computer from Israel.
Well, I have a screenshot that I took of the Facebook notice that I got. It shows the location, the IP address, the date and time. I would be happy to send that to y'all if you'd like.
Believe me, we've all seen it ourselves.
Yeah.
You better watch it, because what they'll do is they'll go in and take over your account, and then spoof threats in your name?
Well, I changed both the I changed the password for my Facebook and my YouTube account. After that happened, so hopefully that'll help.
Well, that may just be a hack program. We've had our Facebook hacked a bunch, and it's mainly just so people can take control of your front page and spam it. So it may not be malicious. I mean, malicious in that they're trying to set you up. But I do recognize your voice and aware of the good YouTube videos you put out.
Thanks, Alex. Well, you know, you inspire me, and the hard work that you do keeps us going out there. So,
what do you think of Fox News calling for people to kill Obama, but then trying to imply that I'm doing that and putting me in the terror section with two different articles yesterday as a terrorist?
Well, I think of it as the same as them letting have that complete psycho Glenn Beck have his own TV show on there. I mean, anybody who's going to employ that guy, they're just not good in my book right off the bat.
Well, they know what they're doing. Glenn Beck is their idea of Alex Jones. I mean, I have that from inside Fox. So he says all these things that are true so he can get your confidence to stab you in the back later.
Yeah, he's just there to co-opt everybody into the sinking Sarah Palin ship so that he can keep Obama. Now, if his approval steeps low enough, I think they're going to throw Perry in there and get Obama out. Otherwise, you're going to see Sarah Palin go in there and lose.
Yeah, look for a Sarah Palin-Rick Perry ticket, and I've had that from inside the Republican Party in Washington and in Texas, and look for a General Petraeus-Mitt Romney ticket with Petraeus as VP.
I could definitely see that.
No, those are the two tickets right now.
Boy, so you don't see anything going on with you don't think that Perry's going to take the top of the ticket, do you?
I believe Perry will get the top of the ticket.
Well, he is Club Bilderberg, and there is a new video out too where he is confronted by We Are Change, and he has to admit it.
Yeah, I met the guy at a 9/11 event a few weeks ago who did that. Yeah, no, he told the Dallas Morning News he went to Bilderberg. He put a press release out. I appreciate your call, Keith. Herman, Rick, Sue, David, and others, your call's coming up. Then I'll go inside the Hatari militia for you, break down that, and a lot more straight ahead. This is the one, the only GCN Radio Network. I'm Alex Jones. The websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. We got two new films coming out next month. Pre-order them, Infowars.com. Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., we're here live.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a 9. So fine, I've been on fire.
Let's go ahead and go back to your phone calls. Herman in New York, you're on the air. Herman, welcome.
Yes, hello, Alex. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I have quick points that I want to make. I think one solution is that we need to call the senators who are running under this new Patriot Party, if you will, Tea Party movement, like Peter Schiff and others, and tell them that it's not just government incompetence, that it's actually part of a larger plan, that it's not just Washington acting in their own interest and the interest of big business, but this is actually part of a bigger plan. And my second point I want to make is that Barack Obama was just on TV talking about drilling. He was at the Andrews Air Force Base talking about how he's going to open up drilling. Now, what I think he's going to do is he's going to give right cover to his leftist agenda of cap and trade, giving the right something to be happy about with this new drilling going on, but moving forward with bipartisanship on cap and trade. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree with you. That's one level of it. They've got a new cap and trade bill, which is just a direct tax on the fuel to begin this operation. But here's the New York Times, and that was in the stack to get to. Obama to open offshore areas to oil drilling for the first time. But the main reason they've decided to do this is those are international waters. If you look, they have a map on the New York Times of the new red areas that they're going to allow drilling in the Gulf of Mexico and also in the southern Atlantic off of Georgia and South Carolina and Alabama. If you look at those areas, that's where the Russians and the Chinese said, okay, and they said this in the last 2 months, You're not going to drill there. We're launching a huge exploration and drilling operation. So the oil companies have an oligopoly. They have a controlled cartel. They want to keep prices at a certain point, not too high, not too low. And that's why they have deals with the Arabs. But because Russia and China are now moving in with massive exploration operations, they're saying, okay, all right, we'll go ahead and move in there. And so that's the main reason. Anything else, Herman?
Yes, I was watching some videos by Jordan Maxwell, and he kind of stomped down on my optimism. He pretty much said that the population isn't really ready for what's coming because they really don't understand their enemy to the full extent. What do you think about that? Thank you.
Well, I appreciate your call. Look, we don't need even 10% of the people to really know the full magnitude of what we're up against to beat this, okay? That's why they had the 3%ers. It was 3% started the war, 5% that won the war in 1775, 1776, up until the early 1780s. And so we don't have to have the entire population. You get tens of millions of Americans saying no, waking others up, it's over for the New World Order. And they know this radio show is one of the main focal points of that, and that's why they're coming after us. Rick in Florida, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Alex. I'm calling to comment on a story that's currently posted on Infowars.com about the City of Milwaukee Police Department becoming the first in the nation to implement, to demand, a biometric fingerprint scan upon encountering law enforcement. Now, I live in Milwaukee. I'm outraged by the infringement on our Fourth Amendment rights here. I have an attorney. I'm going to look into this. But what I'm calling you to tell you is it's not an accident that Milwaukee, Wisconsin was chosen to implement, to beta test.
No, I know. Your mayor 2 years ago called for martial law when the rest of the council wanted to vote against them. And it was your governor in Wisconsin. It's in Police State. No, it's in Matrix of Evil. I have the AP article where he gave a tour to the media and told a little too much about the threat fusion centers and showed how they were tracking everyone in that case in Green Bay. He had up on the map Green Bay, everyone's cell phone and where you are in real time and how they could dial in and listen to you. So he showed a little too much. You're not supposed to show that to everybody. But go ahead and make your point about Milwaukee.
The police chief, the current police chief in Milwaukee is Ed Flynn. Ed Flynn is in the pocket of the feds. Ed Flynn was police chief in Arlington, Virginia on 9/11.
Amazing.
Did you know that?
Well, they always lie, though, and say, no, I didn't. They always lie and say, all these major police chiefs are feds. They always lie and say, we're the first to do it. There are a bunch of other towns and cities thumb scanning people. And how do they do it? They get it from your driver's license. When you go in and get thumbprinted, that's the national ID. You want to add anything else or are you done, Rick?
When are we going to get you on the radio in Milwaukee?
Probably when hell freezes over. I mean, yeah, there's mom and pop stations and independents out there. Call them, get us on. But, you know, we're radical. We're against being thumb scanned at checkpoints and having blood taken without warrants and laptops watching kids at home. You know, we're radical. Oh, we don't want them to take the pension funds. Oh, we're radical.
Front porch sitting in an old rocking chair. The sun is hot in the Texas sky. Garden growing, close out.
In my stack today, I have masses of articles similar to this one. The Globe and Mail. The prison spending boom. Ottawa needs to explain why, at a time of deficit and cost controls, Canada needs to expand its budget for federal prisons by 36%. And it's the same thing all over the world. All the money will go to the banks and to their enforcers, and they will put nonviolent people in the prisons and release the violent. Oh, you bullied. You said something mean to a kid at school, they claim. You're going to prison for 5 years. Oh, you didn't pay your parking tickets. You're going to jail for 6 months. Oh, you killed a Arizona rancher. Nothing's going to happen to you. Oh, you killed a cop. Nothing's going to happen to you if you're an illegal alien. oh, you're a citizen. You said no to police in the dark on the side of the road wanting to take your blood for a DNA database. We're going to beat you up and then charge you with assaulting us. Oh, you don't like your baby having its blood taken at birth for a Pentagon database. You must be a terrorist. You must be a hater of the system. Look at this headline. Met officer cleared of assaulting G20 protester. First, the police lied and said the guy had a heart attack. He was delivering newspapers. They just came out and beat him to death, and witnesses and video came out of him murdering him. And the government in England just said, hey, we'll kill who we want when we want. We don't care if you're delivering papers. Maybe we feel like murdering. Maybe we feel like beating. Maybe we feel like killing. You're here for us. You have the value of a package of Twinkies. We devour you. But you better give up all your rights and not worry about what the banks are doing in the takeover, because the Digital Journal reports Al-Qaeda operative Osama bin Laden healthy calling the shots. A message board says so. Yes, Newsweek's reporting it as well. A message board. Maybe a message board says somewhere that Santa Claus is our real president, and maybe Newsweek will report that Santa Claus is our president because a message board said so. I was on Man Cow this morning, and he has this troll-like co-host. He was calling me a liar. He was saying, they are not training the Explorer Scouts to take on disgruntled veterans. You are a liar. And so I Googled it right in front of my, and I said, okay, I'm going to put in Boy Scouts Homeland Security right now. I did it. First link that came up of hundreds. Scouts train to fight terrorists and more. Imperial, California, 10 minutes into an errant mayhem in the town near the Mexican border, and a gunman, a disgruntled Iraq war veteran, have already taken out two people. Slumped in his desk, the other covered in blood on the floor. The responding officers, 8 teenage boys and girls, the youngest 14, face tripwire. The cloud of poison gas and loud shots, bam, bam. And then it's got the Homeland Security teaching them how to make suspects shut up. There's a quote in here about, jump on his back, put his face in the ground and your knee in the middle of his back. That will shut him up. And then you click on the photos, and it shows the dead veterans, the mock simulated dead veterans. And this guy is just still screaming, you're a liar, 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 you're a liar. And then I get Boy Scouts email me, I'm in the Boy Scouts, I'm not doing that. Or a Scoutmaster's call in and go, Alex, I don't appreciate you lying. Oh, really? I got the headline LA Times. LAPD takes over Explorer program completely, now part of the LAPD and a Homeland Security grant. They haven't taken them all over yet. And then I've got the AP headline, Girl Scouts prepare to fight terrorists, report criminals. It's all covered in Fall of the Republic. I mean, this is classic hardcore corruption. This is secret police. This is one of the key hallmarks of a super corrupt, super oppressive authoritarian system. And these people are in denial. I was on that show about a month ago, and I was on some other shows, and I would mention laptops watching kids at home that the government had given them. And these shows say, oh, that's not true, until later it comes out, and then they're okay with it. Not Mankow himself, but his sidekick. It's just so frustrating dealing with childlike minds. All right, I'm going to go back to your calls here in a moment. I wrote up some talking points last night on both films, and now I don't know where they are. Maybe you can get Burmese if he's back to print me some more copies. Talking points. I mean, we spend all this time, all this money. I make these films, and then I don't even really boil down what's in them to tell you why they're so important to see. Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, almost 8 years since my last Police State film. The COG, the FEMA camps proven, how they're brainwashing police, how they're federalizing the riot police attacking innocent people, sound cannons being used, mercenary forces being used in the United States, executive orders, all proven without a shadow of a doubt, the nightmare system, we take you inside a national security dictatorship. You need to get this film. You need to order it on DVD. You need to make copies and give it to everyone you know. People want to know about the FEMA camps now. Well, this will show them the FEMA camps and give them the big picture. You need to order Invisible Empire. I mean, it covers it all. Government assassinations, government narcotics trafficking, how it's a pervert pedophile guild that runs Washington. Bohemian Grove, Skull and Bones, the British Roundtable Groups, the CFR, globalist all on tape admitting world government. This is a film where there's no longer any doubts for anybody. This is New World Order for dummies. Everyone needs to get Invisible Empire, New World Order defined. It starts shipping in 15 days. So get your orders in now. Infowars.com. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. You can also write to us, P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas 78760. The films are $19.95 apiece. You get both films together, we'll give you a $5 discount. And your purchase also makes this radio show possible. We'll be premiering both films, the 15th and 21st, first Invisible Empire, then Police State 4, Rise of FEMA, at PrisonPlanet.tv in the highest quality online. You can also download it, DivX, burn it to disk, give it to everyone you know. You can also watch the live TV show. We simulcast the last 2 hours of the radio show every day at PrisonPlanet.tv. We also archive it. We're launching this week a 64 kilobit stream for members. By the end of the week, that will be up. Double the bandwidth of the free audio streams for PrisonPlanet.tv members. But the most important thing is get the films, get the material. We have a particular radio interview. Download the podcast. Give it to everyone you know. Get the free iPhone app at Infowars.com, even if you already have it or don't have an iPhone. Send it to your friends and family that do have iPhones. Tell them, listen to this. That's how we're going to reach more people. I'm not here risking my life, my name, my treasure, my family, everything to lose. I wouldn't be in the fight if I didn't know we have a good chance of beating these people. The churches have told everybody, anytime evil rises up, lay down on your belly before it. It's the end of the world. You'll be teleported out of here. Balderdash. We know that we're going into super tyranny if we don't stand up. We've got to slow it down and then stop it. And we'd already be in much worse position if we hadn't stood up. They're just hitting us on all sides, trying to overwhelm us so we just shut down and give into it. We cannot do that. So get the documentary films, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas 78760, or 888-253-3139. And get the trailers for Invisible Empire and for Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, off Infowars.com. Send it out to everybody you know. This is how we reach more people with the truth. Okay, let's go back to your phone calls. Let's go ahead. I'm going to take calls at the end of the hour. Then I'm going to go through all the news that I mentioned that I did a boil down of. In the first hour, I'm going to go through it all, the militias, what's happening, the future, what's going to be set up. Stage terror in Mumbai. We've got the guest that wrote the article for the John Birch Society on about this. He's in Europe right now, Alex Newman. Mumbai terror attack was U.S. agent. Mumbai terrorist was U.S. agent. That's all coming up. And then we've got Dr. Frederick Wyerhurst, former head of the FBI crime lab, in the last hour to talk about frame-ups and setups and how corrupt this government is. Right now, let's go ahead and go to Sue in Indiana. Thanks for holding.
Hi. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi. I have a quick question for you. You were saying that the government was going to take the 401ks, the pension plans?
Yes.
Are they going to take everything like the IRAs and everything like that, your investments?
They're going to take everything, and then they're going to control it, and then only give you a small percentage back.
Okay.
And if you don't like it, they're going to call you a terrorist.
So if I take my money out now, nothing will happen? Or will they tax? I mean,
well, there's a lot of this healthcare thing is taxing investment funds and savings funds and medical accounts, but they're going to try to get it one way or the other. But more and more, I mean, they're announcing that your money markets won't be insured. They're announcing that the federal government is ordering private and public and union pension funds to be invested, quote, in failed banks. That's Business Week. That's WorldNet Daily. Obama's giving speeches about it, how he's going to protect your money, but, of course, put a juicy tax on it.
Okay, even if I went to silver or gold, they're still going to go after that.
It's a little bit harder for them, but, yeah, they're hiring all their tens of thousands of new agents. And if you resist in any way, they're going to kill you and call you a terrorist. I mean, this is real jackboot evil.
So there's no way to save your investments then.
Well, I mean, what do people think Hitler did? He robbed everybody. What do you think Stalin did? Mao. These are despots. This is the real deal. And I'm not saying they're going to get away with all this, but they're certainly pushing. They're certainly trying it. I mean, it's certainly going on.
Okay. That was my question. And I found you a couple months ago, and I've been listening to you ever since. So I'm going to order some of your movies. And that was the end of my question.
Well, thank you, Sue. I appreciate your call. And we've got to start telling it like it is. Civilizations, when corruption starts taking over, there's always a denial period. But you talk to people in Asia or Latin America or Africa who've lived under this type of system, they all know how things work. There's just paramilitary police suppressing them everywhere. The wild card is there's so many guns in this country. So they want to preemptively go out and make any type of armed defense or resistance look ridiculous by targeting civilians, targeting innocent cops. That's what this is all about, to try to preemptively get the violence going early. I don't want it to ever happen. And they always ignore the government's violence or any protected group engaged in violence against others. I mean, notice, I'm not a Muslim basher here, and the radical Muslims are run and funded and protected by Western intelligence as a way to menace the West into giving up their freedoms. But if you notice with these railway bombings in Russia and others, they never say Muslims. They always say from the Caucasus, from Chechnya. They never say Muslim. But it's Christian, 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 Christian militia, Christian, 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 Christian. Because they want to demonize Christianity because it's the dominant system that's left over here in the U.S. Dave in South Carolina, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, I got a little information for you. We heard today on the local radio station about how they're going to be reassessing property taxes in our county, and they're going to come knocking on every door, measuring every house, every outbuilding, and trying to gain access to every domicile home.
Yeah, what the banks do is the banks get the cities in debt, and then internationally they fly all the city managers, even to small towns, to these events and then promise them to move up the chain into bigger city management if they do what they're told. And it's UN Agenda 21 zoning, and it's part of Obama's environmental plan. And just because he can't pass it in the Senate doesn't mean he's not going to try to implement it. And the same thing's been announced here in Austin. People who renovated houses 35 years ago, in one case I saw in the paper, in one case the house had been sold four separate times, and they came in, bullied their way in with an inspection for the new zoning, and said, you've got to pay us fines for renovation done in the 1970s. And absolutely, in Canada, in some U.S. cities, in Illinois, and in England, the police now come in your house without a warrant for a safety inspection and then ask about your firearms. And in one Illinois paper I saw, the elderly couple woke up with zoning inspectors standing in front of their bed saying, you have three toothbrushes. This house is only zoned for two people. So everything is a giant prison. Do you understand?
Yeah, I know it shocked my family a lot because they've been pretty disbelieful until now. That just amazed them that they were going to try to do something like that in our county.
Well, these are parasites. These are hardcore criminals, and most small towns have a good old boy group that's been sucking off everybody for 100 years. So it's like, oh, good, we get to really rob this scum now. Feds say they're going to back us up. Let's get going here. There's a lot to take, a lot of kids to take, a lot of raping to do, a lot of money to take, a lot of blood to take at checkpoints, a lot of tax money. We've been given the green light to really do some raping, boys. We're going to get a federal grant to hire more cops, and we're going to go in their houses, and we're going to let these locals know we run things now around here.
What would be the best way to counter this? Would it be to try to get a constitutional lawyer and a couple of different homeowners together and try to sue the county, or?
You sue the county. You call out the good old boys. You get in their face at restaurants when they're in the coffee shop every day. You run people for city council. You stand on the side of the road exposing them. You get angry to this scum. You expose it's a UN Agenda 21 program. And you tell them we're not your plantation slaves. That's what you do in South Carolina. You get angry. You tell Boss Hogg you're not working for him.
We've already started trying to get some good county councilmen in. But a lot of the ones that made promises fell back, and they're leaving just a few men to try to take up the slack, but they're being outvoted. So we're going to try to get those out.
Well, Dave, that's the way it's always been. It's always a few good men that step up. That's the way it's always been. So you got to step up. I know you are stepping up. God bless you. Start a local newspaper. It doesn't matter if you print 1,000 copies a month. Find the money. Get a few sponsors. Print up what's happening. Take articles from InfoWars and Prison Planet. Write your own. Get aggressive. Run the scum out of your town. You're nothing but federal pimps. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I tell you, I am disappointed by the naked body scanner contest. The other contests we've done have just been way past my wildest expectations and dreams. Absolutely have blown me away. And we've only gotten, I don't know, 4 or 5 video entries, a few poster entries, and they're okay. I mean, A for effort, but I mean, this is really concerning me. We are 11 days away from the contest closing. There's 3 different contests, $15,000 of prizes. And some of you great filmmakers out there, you need to get on it and get your entries in. I'm sure we'll get hundreds the last day. I mean, that's happened before, but usually we have hundreds before that happens. You'll get like half your entries in the first 25 days of the contest and the other half the last 5. But, I mean, this is just drips and drabs here. So I'm going to take what we got and post it in an article at InfoWars.com today, the posters that came in, the few videos that came in. But let me tell you, send your contest entries to contest@InfoWars.com for that. They are raising hundreds of new taxes on everyone. And it's not just the taxes. It's the way they collect them is all unconstitutional. Coming in your house, coming on your farm, coming on your ranch, telling you you can't have a water well, telling you you can't have cattle, telling you there's a tax on them, running your life, bossing you around, passing all these new regulations, and cutting all the services except for more prisons, more cops, and more money to the banks. A giant prison. Hence, PrisonPlanet.com. We're going live in T-minus 4.5 minutes at PrisonPlanet.tv for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Let's talk to Tim in Michigan. Tim, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, I talked to you yesterday. I like to incredible kind of referral as a man on the ground over here in Michigan. There was a couple things that I picked up off of a article that I got out of the Wall Street Journal, and it had some information in there about I don't know if you caught this, Alex, but this I think this guy Thomas Piatek was our infiltrator, this FBI provocateur that they slipped in on these people, because if you saw the picture of all of them up together, they're all in uniform garb, from the jail, and all dressed the same except for this Thomas Piatek guy. Even his complexion is different from these people. I mean, this is really strange. I want to tell you what me and my girlfriend ran across, Alex. It was really strange, because after we read this article, about this Thomas Piatek character, and that how they had this picture that they posted, they said it was in sort of some sort of a file that was given to the grand jury from a what they called a how did they word that? They said it was a cooperating witness slash FBI agent, and that now we couldn't figure out whether they were talking about this Piatek character or somebody that was implying that he was part of it, because it was a really strange article.
So, well, Anderson Cooper reported that other militias reported them. And see, what happens is a bunch of the militias, especially in Michigan, are commanded by feds. And what they do is go meet with other militias and try to basically provocateur them into things. And they also spend a lot of their time demonizing yours truly, which is what put me on to them being feds a long time ago. And, I mean, it's a mess up in Michigan. You got to really watch your butt up there. And, of course, whenever I've been saying that the last 12-plus years since I discovered it, it's like, how dare you say people should watch it? All the militias are good up here. There's no danger. Jones is a wimp. He's not calling for violence. But I appreciate your call. We're going to go over a lot of this coming up in the next hour. I appreciate your call, Tim. Steve, Don, Roger, George, your calls are coming up, but I will get into all of the militia information straight ahead and a lot more. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Thank you for joining us. We have reached the halfway point in this syndicated broadcast today. I'm going to cover a host of very important news stories now. Coming up in 30 minutes, we're joined by Alex Newman of JBS.org, John Birch Society magazine newspaper. Mumbai terrorist was U.S. agent. And, of course, that comes from the affidavit. Remember those terror attacks almost 2 years ago? Blamed on Pakistan. We told you at the time it was U.S., Israeli, and British intel. That even came out in Indian papers at the time. The head of counterterrorism in India was assassinated, was killed the day of these attacks. And he had been saying it was British, U.S., Israeli run. That's why that was originally there. Now, in fact, will you guys call Watson and have him send all the articles that Kurt and Watson wrote almost 2 years ago on that, because I want to have all the names and I can highlight it, the name of the counterterrorism head. Of course, they capped his butt good. He was there trying to stop it, but he couldn't go up against CIA, Mossad, MI6. I mean, you can't go up against their Muslim terror forces. I mean, they just continue to devastate everywhere. They attack the Russians. They attack 9/11. They attack everybody. Train bombings, everything. Sometimes they've got real Muslim nuts working for them. Usually it's just totally staged. All you can do is expose them. But we've got the affidavit. In fact, you printed me both copies, or it printed in two pieces. Oh, here it is. Here's the first piece. No, this is the indictment of the militia patsies. I'll find it. So we're going to be covering all of this. Also, I've mentioned it, but I want to get into it briefly again and explain why this is happening into the next phase. Fox News trolls InfoWars comments, reports Alex Jones to authorities, writes two front page articles on FoxNews.com yesterday saying that I am a terrorist, basically, and that we're calling for violence and that we're associated with commenters that are doing it. Well, Paul Watson, in about 5 minutes, found Fox News correspondents calling for Obama to be killed, found people all over their articles and comments calling for Obama to be killed, something we're saying we're against. And I've noticed Glenn Beck's been saying 9/11 truthers are going to try to kill the president. And I know he copies my show and twists everything we do. And I know that from inside Fox, because we have freedom lovers everywhere. But now it's clear they're trying to set me up while they themselves push the violence. So this is really going to a whole other level. With CNN doing investigations on me, supposedly creating some attack piece that was going to air Friday, and then last night, with all these other big national publications attacking us 24/7, this is very, very, very serious what's going on. So we're going to be breaking all of that down as well. But the headline up at prisonplanet.com, perhaps Fox should check into its own website for violent comments. And Derek Einkoff, one of the sales guys, he went and looked on Fox site and found even more death threats and violence. And then he was on there today saying, look, you shouldn't call for violence. And they said, look, we'll kill you too. That's kind of like Mike Reagan could say, kill all 9/11 truthers, kill Mark Dice, I'll pay for the bullets, I'll meet you. There's a bounty on their head. The FBI said he's allowed to say kill people. He's allowed to say kill Mark Dice. We're getting together a bunch of screenshots to link up in the article. And Watson's changed the headline at my suggestion. Fox News calls for Obama to be killed while framing Alex Jones for instigating violence. And look, I'm not looking to fight with the controlled corporate press. When they write two big articles, put it in the terror section, and basically say I'm inciting terrorism, and then meanwhile they're the ones actually doing it, this is just too rich. This is just too much. It's absurdist. And we're going to expose it straight ahead. But first, the militias, then the frame up of all of the true conservatives and libertarians in this country. You want to know what's going to happen? We'll tell you.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're back live now, 8 minutes into the third hour. Have two guests coming up and continuing with your phone calls. Give me a document cam shot right here, please. Thank you. Here is the indictment of the Hatari militia in Michigan. Looks like there were only really seven members of this, most of them family members. Their brother has been on CNN, who lives in San Antonio, Texas, south of where I sit, saying, look, he made a board game about fighting different enemies. They did all sorts of different scenarios. And it's the same thing as when the military trains with the Boy Scouts to, quote, take on disgruntled veterans. New York Times, here's that article, Scouts Trained to Fight Terrorists and More. First line, taking out a disgruntled Iraq war veteran. That'd be like saying the Boy Scouts should be charged, the Explorer Scouts, for trying to kill veterans. And I've seen this over and over again. This is how the feds have always been able to set people up. I've seen it over and over and over again in Texas, in Michigan, in Florida, in Alabama, in California, in Nevada, in Arizona, in Oregon, in Washington State. They have a handbook. They give their informants and agents. And they go in and say, we ought to do a drill in case the local police get taken over by the UN. We ought to go scout out the police department. And then they go and they take video of it and they come back and have a meeting. And the Fed generally is the leader of the group by then because he's buying them guns and food. And, you know, they love him. And it may take him 2-3 years to get their trust. And, boy, they just love Bubba or whatever his name is. He's really, you know, a Southern Poverty Law Center trainee, or he's an FBI agent. And then he says, we need to train to look at how we'd run an ambush like in the movie Red Dawn. We act like a car's broke down, and when the cop pulls up, we kill him. Right, Bill? Right, Jenny? Right, Tom? I guess so. I guess so, Bubba. Is that what we do? That's right. Now, let me hear your plan. Tell me how you would do that in this simulation. It's just a simulation, mind you, and they're recording the whole thing. And then one of the younger ones says, yeah, and then when the feds come to be part of the funeral, we'd have IEDs out there and we'd blow them up. Oh, that's a good idea. You sure are smart now. I had Pale Horse on, one of the people arrested, and they're saying there's members in the group now. That's I told you this Monday. I told you again Tuesday, and then the Wall Street Journal, I hadn't read it till last night, came out and said, yeah, there was an informant and someone else in the group who's been arrested, but they're going to let him go. I told you, they always stage. It's like the Mumbai thing. The leader was U.S. intelligence. And they're saying, well, we've got him, and we're going to probably let him go or look at him off with some lenience. That's only because it came out he was a Fed. And looking at these photographs, let's look at these photographs. Now, I've learned, I mean, this guy, obviously, dumber than a box of rocks, the leader. His son, dumber than a box of rocks. I mean, these people all look like, and I'm not trying to be mean, like they may be missing chromosomes. This guy, joke. This guy, we're going to get into him later, and I'm still doing investigations. Thomas William Flatek. We need to look very closely because I've seen informants. I mean, I've had guys that look just like this try to set me. I mean, they look. I mean, this guy right here. And look, he doesn't even look too concerned there. These people are all wide-eyed. You can tell they're not too pleased about what's going on. Not in a jail uniform, as you notice. They said they had basically a staged arrest of one of their operatives inside. Now, we'll see if I'm right about this. But, I mean, I had Pale Horse on, Sickles, in August of 17th going, if you're not a Fed, somebody's handling you and telling you to dress like that and use a voice changer. This comes right out of the ADL, what you're doing. And he needs to be looked at as well. And we'll get him up on screen. Pull Sickles up. You talk about a setup. So there's an FBI agent, there's an informant, and there's someone inside the group that's working with them as an informant, and they're going to be let go. Is it the guy not in a jail uniform here? Is it Sickles? And when he was on the show, I played this. I played it, what, yesterday? Or was it Monday?
Yesterday.
I played the August 17th show. Now, looking at this, when he was on the show, I said, they're going to try to get you to drill to case out a police station. And they're going to try to set you up that you're planning to attack police stations because they want to get the cops all hating militia or anyone that's into the Second Amendment or Tea Parties. So they always try to get militia to target police stations. They try to get the black group, the young Christians down in Florida to do it. I mean, it's always the same story to get the cops all into this paranoid, delusional culture. And I also told you Monday and Tuesday that because it's always the same. They psychologically profile weak-minded, scared groups who are weak-minded, who can then be tricked into wargaming, who can be tricked into scenarios so the feds can sell it as if it was a real attack plan. Now, of course, it's coming out it wasn't a real attack plan. But it's like every other case. You'll hear about it for a month, and then a month later, all the information comes out, but it's even coming out within a few days this time, that it wasn't real. It was in their heads and seen as part of a wargaming scenario. And that the date they had to go down to City Hall was for a protest, not for a plan to kill police officers. But that doesn't matter now. And this coincides with all of this demonization in the media of patriots, of conservatives, of libertarians, of Tea Parties. As the government's done all these illegal, unconstitutional things, as people are getting angry with the government, and rightfully so, and politically so, they want to now stage more violent attacks and more fake arrests to kind of prep people's minds for spectacular attacks mixed in with some smaller attacks in the next few months as a pretext to fully roll out Homeland Security against the American people. Here is the Sun Times. Undercover agent, witness provided intelligence on alleged Christian militia member. And it says it was another militia that initially reported. Some of the big militias in Michigan are completely Fed-run. And then, again, they go out and interface and decide, run by agents, who's good to set up. An unidentified cooperating witness helped provide intelligence to a federal grand jury about at least one of the alleged members of the group, Thomas Petak, who delivers steel drums for a Southside company. And this isn't clear whether Thomas Petak is the one who provided the info or the info was provided on him. The person pictured therein is the person known as cooperating witness, an undercover FBI agent to be the person who participated in the criminal violations contained in the indictment. A government filing in the case reads, referring to photos of Petak shown to the grand jury. And so the way this is written, Jaron, you're the one that just brought this to me. I saw it this morning. They're saying there it's Petak, right? Yeah, it's not clear. I wonder, again, it's either Petak or it's Sickles are the two I've identified. As I just said, you just brought this in. And it's not clear, it's vague here, but was it Sickles reporting on Petak? Yeah. The filing was made to correct Petak's middle name, which it says was mistakenly entered as Edward instead of William on his arrest warrant and indictment. Oh, man. I mean, I'm not even going to get into it. It's just they're constantly trying to set me up. When I was in Denver for the DNC, I constantly had people coming up going, oh, Alex, I'm a big fan. Do you want some guns when you're out demonstrating to be safe? I'm like, no, I don't want guns. So they could say, Alex Jones had a concealed gun. He was planning to get Obama. I mean, it was just over and over again, people coming up. I'd be at an event or I'd be somewhere, and it was always a cop or informant type. Hey, you want some guns to protect yourself? It's just, and then these feds will just run off and just lie about you. Because I have experienced them doing this. I have experienced you're standing there at a fence to watch the military do a takeover drill at a municipal airport, and a guy comes out of the bushes and says, you asked me to light this on fire. And I'm like, stop it. Stop. I mean, folks, I've been there over and over and over and over again. And last night I was remembering all the other times it happened. I mean, and to be on the news, Alex Jones tried to burn down the forest to hurt the military. He's a domestic terrorist. And so a lot of these Michigans are Fed-founded and Fed-run, just like the white supremacist groups. And they're there to try to radicalize and make militias look stupid, and so they can go out and set people up to create the illusion that there's all these terrorist groups out there. There is no doubt that my predictions of the last year and my intensifying predictions that I was sure of it in the last 3.5 months, that there would be staged attacks on IRS buildings, military facilities, and on police barracks. It is now all unfolding. It's all Fed-run, all federally controlled. This Sickles character, we'll get a document cam shot for folks on that or put him on screen for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, is the prime suspect as the informant inside. We know there is an informant within this group of 8 people. Probably more. And he's the guy making videos with a scary voice changer with a guy dressed up as a gas masked, festooned thug behind him right out of Central Casting. Looks just like something Adam Gadon would produce. And, you know, he may not be the informant, but I'm just telling you my gut. It's one of these two. Just from knowing some of their histories, I've interviewed this guy, and I told him, if you're not a Fed, you're walking right in to a nightmare. Now, Nancy Schaefer, on a separate issue, over the weekend was shot in the back and her husband shot in the chest. They were not planning suicide. The husband had had some mild cancer and was fine. They were Christians. They were exposing child trafficking. She was a former state senator, head of the Eagle Forum. And she'd been calling us the last few months saying, I got big breaking news. And we get so overwhelmed that I hadn't called her back to have her back on. I had meant to. She was clearly murdered. And we just talked to a documentary filmmaker who talked to her 48 hours before and shot all these interviews with her. And there was, she was planning to meet with him. Everything was fine. Another political murder, because Atlanta is a major child trafficking operation, and she was exposing CPS running it. And I would advise everyone who was working with her, get everything, all the video, all the audio, all whatever she discovered out absolutely immediately, or you may commit suicide. It's big money for the pedophile guilds that run America and feed on our children. And they don't want to be kept away from the children. How many CPS heads, how many Child Protective Services people, how many anti-pedophile police have been caught running the pedophile ops? They're pedophiles. A large percentage of them are the most disgusting demons you could ever imagine. Others just like the cash. And God, these people, just, there's no end to the curse that's on this country. We are a cursed nation now. We were a blessed nation. You kill 50 million babies, God removes his protection from your nation. And even if you don't believe in God, I mean, what kind of country kills 50 million of its own babies for convenience sake and then doesn't think other dehumanizing things are going to happen? For more than a decade, new doctors don't give a Hippocratic oath to do no harm. The feds have taken over health care. In fact, I promised to go over that. I have a here in my stack a big breakdown. Oh, look, there's a suicide note of financial troubles. I'll tell you, this is so disgusting. Just like there was a suicide note that wasn't in the same handwriting for the D.C. madam, and she told her landlord 2 days before, I'm being followed, they may try to kill me. No, it's not that she was supplying hookers to the Pentagon and the White House and Congress. No, she committed suicide too, and so did Gary Webb that exposed CIA drug dealing. Oh, there's just no end to these people. But here's the big issue. We are moving in to Oklahoma City bombing too. We are rapidly moving in to this time period right now. We are moving into this period very, very quickly. And I'm begging folks out there to get the word out now about false flag and staged terror, provocateured, self-inflicted wounds, to demonize the American people and fully sick Homeland Security on the American people. Remember, it was Sky Television and Fox News 4 years ago that began programming people that white Al-Qaeda was everywhere and was going to kill you. And they showed white guys standing up, posing as terrorists from England. And then we went and pulled up the original video. It was a government training video of mock terrorists. They know what they are doing. And they're going to do this so they can rob the American people and take your pension funds. And so they can demonize any opposition to what they're doing and play the part of victims. You think the government lying about congressmen getting called the N-word on the floor and on video, there's no tape, it's a lie, or the Democrats attacking their own office, Denver Post, that's confirmed. If you think they're going to stop there, you got another thing coming. I have experienced myself, my crew, Luke Radowski, and others, with the government trying to set us up with weapons and bombs and arson. It's on video in Pittsburgh. It's on video in New York with Luke Radowski. They are so criminal, they will frame you on video and don't even care. That's how evil this government is. Do you understand? Copenhagen Global Government Carbon Tax Summit with William F. Jasper of the New American Magazine. He writes for JBS.org. We've got a story linked up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Mumbai terrorist was U.S. agent is the headline. We're going to give you a document cam shot of that. We also have the indictment here, ladies and gentlemen, admitting he was a U.S. government agent. And I want to go back to those attacks for the next 25 minutes or so. Then we have the former head of the FBI crime lab, Dr. Frederick Weinherr, scheduled to talk about government frame-ups. Just so you know that it's standard operating procedure at the FBI crime lab, local police departments. It's the exception when they're not framing people. It's the exception. Okay, so you understand how they're framing this militia group, and that's now coming out and is basically admitted, and we're only 3 days into this. Before we go to Alex Newman joining us from the north of Sweden right now, I wanted to tell you about a few of the sponsors that made today's radio show possible. One of them is ecolablue.com, ECOLOBLUE.com. Super high quality atmospheric water generators. They grab upwards, sometimes even more, depending on the humidity, 7.5 gallons a day. That's the smaller units. They have big units that can serve hundreds of people. They've shipped some to Haiti. Just a great atmospheric water generators. Their smaller unit goes through 7 filters. The medium size goes through 12. That's the best, cleanest water you can get, bar none. EcolaBlue.com, EcolaBlue.com, or 800-691-6043. Also want to thank eFoodsDirect.com. I've heard a new ad they've got running. When you buy a one-month supply of their high-quality, non-GMO, non-hybrid food, they're giving you a free seed bank. So you can have storable food and great high-quality seeds. eFoodsDirect.com. You'll never stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. It is essential going into this depression that everyone have storable food, firearms, silver, and gold. I have all that as well. eFoodsDirect, the letter E, foodsdirect.com, 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633. Don't procrastinate. They are the best. We have searched. I bought food from different people. This is recently made. Every month they make the food new. The biggest outfit in the country, the best, eFoodsDirect.com, 800-409-5633. And lastly, don't forget, I've got two new films coming out at InfoWars.com on PrisonPlanet.tv in the month of April. On the 15th at PrisonPlanet.tv, it premieres. You can pre-order the DVD to have it in the highest quality and support us. Invisible Empire, New Order Defined. Go watch the trailers, read about the film. Amazing, groundbreaking documentary. And then, of course, Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA. Haven't made a police state film in close to 8 years. This covers the FEMA camps, the executive orders, the COG, the shadow government, the martial law, the sound cannons being used on citizens, the G20, false flag terror, Hardin, Montana, Glenn Beck's cover-up of this information, both DVDs available at InfoWars.com. And we have a brand-new T-shirt in. It says Barry Sitaro at the top, big picture of the man known as Barack H. Obama, and on the back it says InfoWars.com. And people will say, well, who's Barry Sitaro? That's Obama. And you can explain, no, he really is an Indonesian citizen, ineligible under federal law to be president. Forget the birth certificate, and there's clear evidence that that's real, you know, that he doesn't have a birth certificate, that it's just a fake receipt. Point is, this is a great way to get the word out about Barry Sitaro. Okay, Mumbai terrorist was U.S. agent. Now, I saw this morning, and then I saw the link to the affidavit where it talks about Headley, who was this son of a U.S. diplomat, classic spy kids. We knew that the so-called shooters had PCP, LSD at levels that would kill some people in their bodies. On the videos, they're just whacked out of their mind, classic mind control. We knew the U.S. government was jamming signals. I mean, this came out. Here's our articles from over a year ago, December 7, 2008. Arrests provides more evidence, India, Israel, and U.S. behind Mumbai attacks. It goes through the head of Indian intelligence who was killed that day, days before, saying these are staged attacks coming. He was there to try to stop it. Mumbai terrorists were aided by Indian authorities. We have links to mainstream news and all these articles. Media forced to backtrack on Al-Qaeda link to Mumbai attacks. Mumbai attacks blamed on Al-Qaeda as pretext for U.S. military response in Pakistan. So, and this came out in major papers in Europe a year and a half ago. But now it is a huge firestorm in Europe and in Asia and in the subcontinent, because imagine hotels, shopping malls, people running around, just waving machine guns and hand grenades, killing people, flipped out of their minds on psychotropic drugs. We now go to Alex Newman to break down these latest developments. Thanks for coming on with us.
what's just been going on recently.
You know, we didn't have you up. I apologize. We didn't have you up. Go ahead and start over.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me, Alex. And so basically what's going on now, what I was just writing about, is that this terrorist, well, supposed terrorist, also a quote-unquote former government agent, it was just reached a plea deal with the U.S. government, which is going to do a lot of things. One of the most important of them is that it's going to be keeping all of his links to intelligence agencies, American and Pakistani, classified. So basically, we're never really going to get to find out what happened here or what did happen.
And same thing with the Fort Hood shooter. Excuse me. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem. But it's just really ridiculous. And the Indians are furious about it. The American press hasn't really given it too much coverage. Actually, almost nothing. The New York Times had one piece by a letter from India or something like that that alluded to his connections to the CIA. But, I mean, this is huge news, and it's really unfortunate that we're not going to get to know what happened. And just imagine the Indians, you know, some guys run around murdering hundreds of people, and suddenly they don't even get to know what happened. Could you imagine if that happened in America? If some foreign terrorist came and started shooting up one of our cities, and then one of their governments was shielding that person?
Well, that actually came out 2 weeks ago in the Associated Press. ACLU got the documents where the 9/11 Commission was ordered not to investigate the attacks by the White House. So, I mean, there's always a cover-up here, and it's always U.S., Israeli, and British intelligence every time running everything.
It is. It's just such a pattern that every time one of these things happens, you always have the government trying to hide things. And I mean, if there's nothing to hide, why are they acting so suspicious about it? It's just obvious that something strange is going on here.
Well, let's talk about this David Coleman Headley. And this is in the affidavit. This is in the news. U.S. intelligence agent.
Yeah, it started back in the late 90s. He got busted trafficking heroin. So the DEA convinced him that he should be a secret agent for them in Pakistan. So he went over there, and during the time that he was working for them, or close to it, he started training with a terrorist group in Pakistan called the Lashkar-e-Taiba, which is a well-known Pakistani intelligence-aided organization. I mean, it's no question. They helped found it. They helped operate it. And, you know, prominent Indians have been coming out and saying this. The top counterintelligence chief of the Indian Security Services has said it. The former Indian ambassador to Pakistan has said it. What's going on here is the government was in some capacity involved in this, and they had to have known about it at the very least, and there's probably more to it than that. And with this plea agreement that he just got, we're never going to get to know, unfortunately. So it's just a travesty what's going on here.
Well, what we know is he admits to running the key GPS operations, being in a leadership position, and then everybody else gets killed, and their bodies are full of PCP, LSD. I mean, we don't even know if this is supposedly the people. They could have had just some nuts separately who were hallucinating, and then Black Ops shoots some of the people, and that's what witnesses said they were seeing. The former head, well, at the time, the head of anti-terror forces, he gets killed in the attacks. He was coming out saying that Western intelligence had infiltrated and was going to stage this attack. He was there to try to stop it. He got killed. A replay of John O'Neill back on 9/11, the FBI head of counterterrorism, being killed. And so this just goes on and on and on. But the motives here are certain factions in Pakistan that want the U.S. to come in, stage an attack against India as a pretext for U.S. forces to be brought into Pakistan.
Yep. And you know, like you said, Headley was crucial to this operation. He, like you said, he gathered GPS coordinates for the team to land there. He was conducting surveillance, and he was key to this entire operation. And so now it comes out that he's a government agent, and just everything's going to be classified. So something incredibly suspicious is going on, and the people really need to start asking the government what is going on here. I mean, and the Indians, too, are just outraged that this could happen.
More of this guy's past and what type of government agent he was, and now they're talking about basically you're giving him a lower sentence or something, and that they're protecting him under national security.
Yeah, well, in his plea agreement, I mean, for this crime, obviously, he could have gotten the death sentence. And with this plea agreement, he might not even serve a life sentence in prison. So, I mean, this is clearly some kind of cover-up, some kind of protection going on for this guy. And the U.S. is actually bound by treaty to hand him over to Indian authorities. So we're actually not fulfilling our obligation in order to cover up the trail of this guy. And so some people have been saying that, you know, maybe they just made a huge mistake and their agent went totally rogue and out of control, and now they're trying to cover that up. But the thing is, we're not ever going to know because it's all classified now. So, you know, it would seem like if it was just an innocent mistake, there wouldn't be the whole brouhaha trying to cover it up. It would seem that they would just admit they made a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes from time to time. And, you know, just come clean. But that's not what we're seeing at all, unfortunately.
And it's the same in every single case. I wish the terrorism was just small lone groups. That's a lot less scary than knowing the people running our government are manufacturing these attacks to start wars and take our freedoms.
Yeah, that's for sure.
We'll continue going over some of the other important facets of your detailed article.
Okay. Well, we have here the ambassador who served in Pakistan. His name is M.K. Bhadrakumar, and he points out that the LET is closely affiliated with the Pakistan Inter-Services Intelligence, their equivalent to the CIA, and it's basically impossible that this operation would have gone on without the knowledge of the Pakistani government. And the connections between the CIA and the ISI, the Pakistan's version of the CIA, are well known. They've been working with each other for a long time, funding each other, helping out with cross-intelligence. And so if the Pakistani government knew that this was going on, it's almost inconceivable that the U.S. government wouldn't have known what was going on. And, well, obviously they didn't tell the Indians that this was happening. And on top of that, there's been a few CIA moles who have been caught within the Indian security services. And so that's leading people to, a lot of Indian journalists have been accusing certain Indian officials of being involved in this as well. So whether they're rogue Indian agents or whether they're collaborating with other governments, whether it be Pakistan or the American governments, we don't know. But there's clearly a lot going on here that isn't being talked about and that needs to be investigated.
Well, right after this happened, we were able to get Hamid Ghul on the radio show, the former head of Pakistani intelligence, and he said that this was purely a U.S.-Israeli-Indian operation as a pretext to start invasions and drone attacks, and that did then indeed happen. So that might be a good radio interview for you to pull up and listen to for further research.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that, Alex. And yeah, and a lot of Indian journalists have been saying that this was aided and abetted by the Indian intelligence services. Some have accused the Israeli intelligence services as well of involvement. And Pakistan's fingerprint is pretty much undeniable at this point. He was training with the LET. It's well known. It's admitted. And the LET is essentially a terrorist group that's run by the Pakistani government, with, of course, all of its links to the American government. So,
and then all these governments use these attacks as pretext to clamp down on their own populations.
Steal money, steal freedom. The terrorists are going to get you if you don't give up your rights and give up your money. And then what do we get? More terrorism. It can't be incompetent. This guy who got on the airplane, the underwear bomber, obviously he had help from some well-dressed man. How does he get on an airplane with a passport, without a passport?
And then the State Department admits after a month and a half of denying it, okay, a U.S. intelligence agency, unnamed, told us to help him get on the plane and give him a visa.
Yep.
And it's the same story, and it says it now with these militias. They had informants in there running the whole thing.
Yep. Radicalizing people, getting them to say stupid things accidentally, things that they don't mean, and then going in and arresting them and playing the sound bites on the afternoon media so that everybody knows that they need to give up their rights and their freedom. It's just pathetic.
Well, why did the John Birch Society write on this? I mean, I like the JBS, but I found it's, I don't want to say timid, but very, very careful. Even when there was evidence of Oklahoma City being an inside job for a long time, then they did some seminal research on it. They didn't for a long time report on the inconsistencies of 9/11 because I guess they didn't want to have people discredit them, but it does seem that the JBS is really getting a lot more hardcore now. We had McManus in last year, and he said that, you know, there might have been some operatives inside trying to suppress what you guys were doing, but that the JBS is going in the right direction now.
No, the JBS is a great organization, and, you know, they always are really careful with what they publish. They always want to make sure the facts are 100% accurate before going forward with anything, and so I respect that. I received the tip on this from Dennis Bernhardt, who's the editor of the JBS website, and, you know, when something can be verified, backed up, then, you know, they go for it, and so I think the JBS is really a great organization in terms of helping to educate Americans, not just on the principles, but also, you know, the news of what's going on. The New American Magazine, too, is part of the JBS, and I think they really do a great job of trying to get to the truth and publishing accurate information, you know?
Oh, I do as well. It's just that I've seen them get more aggressive, because I've seen times when the evidence is there and they still don't go there because they're being careful, but, you know, but now I'm seeing them, you know, really, really come into the 21st century, which is great, because so much of us, and, you know, so many of us out there woke up and are informed because of the, you know, the work of the John Birch Society over the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the media, they really love to jump on every little thing. So the New American Magazine and the John Birch Society, I think they're really cautious in what they say and make sure 100% for sure that it's accurate and truthful before going forward with it, because as with any effective organization promoting freedom and so forth, the media will immediately seize and pounce upon any minor inaccuracy and try to discredit everything. And, you know, that's certainly not something that they would want. So I think they use a good strategy, and I'm really happy to be working with them and helping to educate Americans.
Well, absolutely. There were two big Fox News articles yesterday in the terror section basically saying that I'm a radical calling for violence and that there are people on my website, and they implied it was articles calling for violence when it was comments. We then went to Fox News and found their pundits and their contributors calling for violence and their commenters calling for it. So the headline is Fox News calls for Obama to be killed while framing Alex Jones for instigating violence. I mean, this is getting really creepy to have the Southern Poverty Law Center, ADL, Time Magazine, Newsweek, George Soros publications, neocon publications, all coming out against me because we are really exposing these creatures for what they are. And it means the issues we're covering here are like holy water and crosses to vampires. And that's why people need to really get the word out about InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, and JBS.org. Stay there. Let's talk more about the Mumbai situation. ADP, the nation's biggest payroll company that literally tens of thousands of companies use to do their payroll, says U.S. companies unexpectedly cut payrolls in the month of March. Massive job losses. But don't worry, they got carbon taxes to shut down your businesses, home inspections, new taxes at every level. They're announcing, and Bloomberg, failed banks may get pension fund backing as FDIC seeks cash, ordering pension funds to dump their money in. It makes my head spin, the robbery that's going on right now, and how people are becoming dependent on the government. Alex Newman, again with this key article from JBS.org, Mumbai terror attack was U.S. agent. We have another headline I'm going to put up from a few months ago about the underwear bomber. Underwear bomber, the sharp-dressed man who aided underwear bomber on the flight 52253 was U.S. government agent. Again, sharp-dressed man who aided underwear bomber on the flight 253 was U.S. government agent. And it's U.S. government agents every time leading the groups, telling them to carry out violence. Here's another one. NBC Today. Synagogue bomb suspects. The feds put us up to it. In fact, I had that Times of London headline that was similar, saying, you know, these informants are, and these stings are maybe illegal, but they want the illusion there are these terrorists everywhere. But then meanwhile, when you've got the illegal aliens killing cops, killing ranchers, burning their houses down from Texas to California, lawmakers demand administration deploy National Guard, Border Patrol after killing. Lawmakers from Arizona and New Mexico are ratcheting up their demands. The Obama administration deploy hundreds of National Guard troops at Border Patrol agents at the Mexican border after the killing of a prominent Southeast Arizona rancher. He had helped illegal aliens that were dying in the desert, but he'd also criticized the open border. Well, he's been murdered now. That's how the government down there does things. Going back and closing to Alex Newman, I'm glad you're reporting on this in the U.S. This is a big story, and I know you're on it. Other points you'd like to add about all this evidence of terrorism being staged?
Yeah, well, I mean, what it really goes to show is that this war on terror is really a scam. I mean, if they need to go around radicalizing people, getting people to say stupid things, using their agents to work in terror camps, what it shows you is that really a lot of this stuff wouldn't be happening without the government involvement. So it really is a scam to take our freedom and to take our money. Sure, they probably convince some dupes from time to time that, you know, they're going to go meet Allah if they go blow themselves up. I'm sure there's plenty of people that actually believe what they're doing is, you know, for whatever cause they think they're working for. But all these government fingerprints all over everything, what it shows is that it's a scam and that this stuff wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for them. So, I mean, the American people really need to start waking up. Your listeners, I really hope they go out and talk to all their friends and their family and, you know, tell people to just go on the Internet, start Googling stuff, find the articles, find the information. It's out there. A lot of it's even reported from time to time in the mainstream press. It just, they don't highlight it and show the importance of it as it needs to be. So I just hope that people will start waking up and start holding the government accountable so that they stop this stuff. You know, if the U.S. government would be obeying the Constitution, we wouldn't have these problems. If they would stop meddling in foreign countries, if they would stop hiring terrorists and double agents, triple agents, and doing all kinds of things that the American government really has no business doing, Americans would be a lot safer, we'd be a lot richer, and we wouldn't have to be giving up all our rights for this stuff. So I really appreciate the work you're doing, Alex, and you know, I really want people to start waking up now.
Well, Alex, we appreciate you. Folks can read your articles at jbs.org. Do you have your own private website?
No, I don't actually, no.
All right, well, we appreciate you spending time with us. We'll continue to follow all your great reports on the Copenhagen takeover. Are you going to be in Mexico City for their next attempted global government takeover this year?
Not sure. We've talked about it. I used to live in Mexico City, and so we'll see what happens, but I'm sure we'll let you guys know, huh?
All right. Thank you very much. We'll be right back with Dr. Frederick Whitehurst. Stay with us. Coming up, we've got Dr. Frederick Whitehurst, the FBI's most famous, successful whistleblower, former head of the FBI crime lab, because I wanted to talk to him about the culture at the FBI, because I just constantly see confirmed news articles where they just frame anybody and everybody and set people up, and it's creeping me out, because we've got the Southern Poverty Law Center, ADL, Fox News now, writing articles saying I'm calling for violence and I'm evil, and I'm not. All we've ever talked about is not having violence. And I've had people showing up at events saying, hey, let's kill cops. And I've been covering military drills and had people just pop out of the bushes and start setting fire to things, trying to say I did it. I mean, I've had them try to set me up over and over again. Military intelligence, it came out in the news, last year that Ron Paul and myself are surveilled by the Pentagon illegally. That was even in the Baltimore Sun. And I'm a syndicated radio host. I'm a constitutionalist. I'm a libertarian. And there's an article every day in the New York Times, London Guardian, Fox News. I mean, there's an article every day saying I'm violent and that I want terrorism. And so that's not a few weeks ago when I wanted to get Dr. Frederick Whitehurst on, that wasn't my main reason for getting him on, but I wanted to ask him his advice as a whistleblower and somebody they tried to persecute. We're going to break here in a moment, but we're going to go to him right now here. Dr. Frederick Whitehurst, America's first successful FBI whistleblower, forced to the president to an executive order, ensuring whistleblower protection of all FBI agents who expose misconduct. His case exposed forensic fraud in the FBI crime lab and suggested it to outside oversight for the first time. And I interviewed him many, many years ago, but it's good to have him here with us today. He's the director of the Forensic Justice Project and pioneer whistleblower, Dr. Whitehurst. Thank you for coming on with us.
Well, glad to be here, sir. What can I do for you?
Well, I want to talk about your case when we come back from break. And then all the other cases of major police departments, I know you've seen the stories, Houston Police Department, Dallas Police Department, just where I live in Texas, caught just framing people in an industrial scale. And whether the culture is getting more corrupt or if there's been any good things that have happened. And then I want to ask you your advice, because I myself literally have provocateurs now jumping out at grocery stores asking me if I want to kill people. And my employees will go to a bar to have a drink, and everywhere they go, people walk up and say, "Hey, I like Alex Jones. What do you think of Obama?" And so I want to get your take on what you think I ought to do. I guess just consulting for me here live on air with any ideas you've got.
Okay.
But we're going to break in a moment, but tell us about your current activities and your forensic justice project.
Well, when I was at the FBI and we were trying to bring to the attention of the Department of Justice there were issues in the crime lab, we realized, first of all, we needed to stop it, then we needed to fix it, and then we needed to find out who got hurt. And finding out who got hurt is a big part of the picture that in our country we seem to want to ignore. That means there could be tens of thousands of incarcerated individuals who were, I don't know whether the word is framed, but were accused by faulty science, by faulty crime lab work product. Those people need to know. They need to know. The Department of Justice has gone about this by saying, well, let's ask the prosecutors if it was material, whatever. And I don't think that's the proper way. I think if you've been treated unfairly by your government, you are part of that government, and you should be given the courtesy of somebody coming to you and saying, by the way, this stuff was flawed. If you wish to proceed with it, here's the way to do it.
All right, stay there, doctor. That was a brief segment. We're going to come right back and give you the floor to start over and then to break all of this down. It's so important. And what you did back in the late 1990s was one of the first big chinks in the armor to let sunlight in on this. Dr. Frederick Whitehurst is our guest. We're very, very honored to have him today. We'll be right back after this quick break.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
That's right. Deep behind the propaganda lines, attempting to wake the people up, attempting to get the population to listen to George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Thomas Paine and others' words, love your country, fear your government, or you will get tyranny. Now, for the rest of the hour, Dr. Frederick Whitehurst is our guest. I interviewed him several times more than a decade ago. He is one of the most famous whistleblowers in U.S. history, perhaps the most famous in the more modern times. He's America's first successful FBI whistleblower. Dr. Whitehurst forced the president to issue an executive order ensuring whistleblower protection of all FBI agents who exposed misconduct. His case exposed forensic fraud in the FBI crime lab and subjected it to outside oversight for the first time. He's the director of the Forensic Justice Project and pioneer whistleblower. Dr. Whitehurst now joins us and exposes FBI misconduct and forensic fraud. And all over the country, every major police department in Texas, Austin, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, have all been caught just framing people en masse. It's all over the newspaper. San Francisco, a few weeks ago, I saw in the news. Tulia, Texas, literally filling the jail with half the town's black people framing them. Here's a New York Times article. DNA evidence can be fabricated, scientists show. That was from a week ago. Folks, we knew this. We knew this years ago that they can fake your fingerprints. But I'm going to shut up now and go to Dr. Frederick Whitehurst for the balance of the hour to talk about, are things getting worse? Are they getting better? What's happening around the country? But first, sir, just going right back to you, I've got so many questions. Just start wherever you wish.
Well, you were talking about are things getting worse or getting better, and I think they're getting a lot better. I think because we have instantaneous knowledge now. We're connected through the Internet, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. And we can research on our own. From our living rooms, our bedrooms, our offices, even our cars. We can be at the beach and find out that, for instance, an article just came out while I was waiting for this this show here. The Nebraska CSI chief has been found guilty of planting evidence. We know about those things now, and that's really healthy. When the government controls the knowledge base, then that becomes dangerous because their inferences may not be proper inferences. We, as a people, govern this nation. That's what our goal is. It may at times we vary from it, but sir, I think that with instantaneous knowledge, then we all can take part in juries. We can all take part in who we elect. We can say, I'm not sure about this. We, about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I had a guy in North Carolina before the North Carolina Innocence Commission. His name's Dwayne Deaver. Told them 18 years ago during trial of this man who was before the commission, there were two tests that decided whether it was blood in the evidence. And one of them said yes, and the other one said no. And he only reported the yes. And it has shaken up this state to think that a man in our crime laboratory, a lowly state employee, can put a guy in jail forever. Just unilaterally decide, well, I'm not going to report the stuff that would hurt the prosecutor's case. We found that out instantaneously. This wasn't in some court 500 miles from here, whatever. It's all over the news, all over the place. And so I think it's really, things are getting better, a lot better, because, you know, I could talk to you, and you're going out to a lot of audience. I'm in North Carolina. I think you're in Texas, aren't you, sir? And so,
absolutely.
So people's questions can be answered just by going to Google. And are we getting better? We're getting better at the lightning speed, in my opinion. Some of it's frightening because the paradigms that have been in place for so long, you know, let's trust J. Edgar Hoover's agents. They're beyond investigation. They used to tell me when I was in the FBI, we're the investigators. Nobody will investigate us. Well, by golly, all of us, anybody, grade school kid can investigate any of these things and look at, don't just accept. So are we moving ahead? Excuse me. We're moving really fast ahead. Are we scared by what we're seeing right now? Yeah, but in the long run, it's going to be healthy.
Well, here's an example. I have the indictment and the affidavits for the head of the Mumbai terror attacks, and it's a U.S. government agent. I have NBC here with the FBI literally commanding and setting up and running the latest Muslim terror group that was going to bomb a synagogue. We have these groups infiltrating militias, and the leaders are the ones who are government informants or agents provocateuring this. And it's just case after case after case. And then I myself have had people who it turned out were feds try to set me up for things. And so I'm trying to understand from your perspective as the former head of the FBI crime lab forensics division, how did you awaken? How did you start seeing the corruption? Why did you speak up? What percentage, as a dead reckoning guesstimation, of police departments or FBI agents or their workers, what percentage, for whatever reason, just love framing people? Because we now know, because of DNA evidence and other issues, in some states, a third of the people or more are completely innocent. And we know that the biggest industry now in this nation is prisons. And there's this incentive to just build, and put more people in prison. And as you said, the paradigm is shifting as the population begins to discover that something is rotten in the state of our republic.
Well, you know, if I'd respond to that, first of all, I don't personally believe that most law enforcement officers are bad. I'm a very strong supporter of law enforcement. And I said, sir, law enforcement. I don't support law enforcement officers that go outside, that cross the thin blue line and tarnish their badge. I just don't. I understand from being inside what the pressures are. When we have an Oklahoma City go up and we see bodies of little children being dragged out, we call for revenge. That call for revenge directs our politicians, and that's what they are. They're politicians, to move forward with an agenda that we will at all costs, da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, that vengeance drags at the foundation of our justice unfortunately, in any enterprise such as law enforcement, where somebody who gives the right answer to the right question at the right time gets the right job and there's no oversight, as a friend of mine and I were saying recently, we all know what floats to the top in a septic tank. And that, frankly, is what, without proper oversight, can float to the top in a law enforcement agency or a government agency. People that are willing to do whatever it takes without any moral compass go to the top. They control who then floats to the top with them. The problem you have in law enforcement is the kind, in my opinion, let's take the FBI. The FBI is cram-packed full of very, very good people. And those that remain as law enforcement officers instead of managers and rear echelon folks, those people, they see what's going on, and they will respond. They respond either as going to the media under the table, which I think is inappropriate. They respond by going forward through the system. For your listeners that don't know, right now there is a move to gut the Whistleblower Protection Act with a bill. It's the Senate Bill 372 before the Senate right now, to gut the Whistleblower Protection Act, to allow the FBI to look to review its own whistleblowers and to decide on their credibility and totally take their rights away. That bill, the structure of that bill, which came through the White House, by the way, a White House which, when it was running for election, said, we're going to strengthen whistleblower protection. That bill would put the FBI in a totally uncontrolled situation. Their own law enforcement officers who would do something about those issues would be shut down. The FBI would be allowed.
Well, let's go back, and then that would generate even more tyranny. Kathleen Rowley and it was 15 or more other FBI agents tried to stop the exact hijackers and were ordered, you will not do that. And the guys that blocked them, their superiors, they got record cash bonuses, and the good FBI agents got demoted or run out.
And you know that, sir. Because FBI agents who they tried to stop came out because they're that kind of people. You know, I knew doggone well I might catch a bullet when I was in the FBI for the stuff I was saying. I mean, it was terrifying for me and my family. And where would the bullet have come from? I don't know. But every one of those people said, I'll take a bullet. I'll lose my career. I'll lose my life's work. I may be put in a nut house. I may be arrested. I may be whatever. But that's not happening from field agents. That's not happening from FBI agents. It's happening from criminals who are loose in the FBI. And that is not the major percentage of them. But I can, in my experience, sir, most of those are top managers at the FBI that have managed, through lack of a moral compass, to move to the top and spread that kind of criminal activity where they want to, but they get stopped. If Senate Bill 372 goes through, there's FBI agents, I guarantee you, they'll find another way to stop that criminal activity. They just will. If they're not allowed to be protected as whistleblowers, then they'll just fall on their swords. They're that kind of people. So when you say, you know, law enforcement's run amok, I think what's happening is because of the information that we can get to now, when somebody does run amok, Tulia, Texas, for instance, whoever heard of that? You know, I lived in Texas one time, but I never heard of that place until, by golly, it was shown up that half the town had been put in jail by a bunch of crooked cops. That kind of information makes us think twice when we as jurors or as voters go to the poll. I mean, it just does.
Amazing. Stay there. I want to get into, in a nutshell, your story, sir, so people can understand what you went through, and then talk about some of the successes that you've seen, but also some of the defeats. And what this does to the whole criminal justice system, as we have this loss of innocence and we all discover together that all of this crap has floated to the top.
I hear the train coming. It's rolling around.
You know, the government says, let's take the rights of these Muslims, but then that sets the precedent for everybody else. They've got the Enemy Belligerent Act that says U.S. citizens can be grabbed by the military and held indefinitely, and enhanced interrogation can be used. You know, I don't like O.J. Simpson. I think he's a nutty guy, but he clearly did get framed with the blood, with the agent in it, that is meant to preserve the blood. And, of course, we're talking to the mystery witness from the O.J. Simpson trial right now. This is a short segment, long segment coming up. We've got him for the rest of the hour, Dr. Frederick Whitehurst. But I wanted to go back to the beginning. What happened at the FBI crime lab? Why were you forced to take that risk? As you said, there could have been a bullet with your name on it. Why did you go through all that hell to get the Whistleblower Protection Act through? And now they're coming back with SB 372 to try to reverse that.
Well, the day I walked through the door of the laboratory, which was, I think it was June the 16th, 1986, it was obvious to me it wasn't a forensic crime lab. It wasn't a analytical laboratory. It was a filthy pigsty. And there were no protocols. There was no cleanliness. When you're trying to find material that you can't see with your eye, you don't know whether it came from the crime lab or the crime scene. My initial approach to it was to just clean it up. If people are not going to clean it up, well, I'll clean it up. I saw some things in the lab that bothered me. We do in any organization. I'm sure people working with you or me would question some of our judgment. But I didn't signal scream my head off. I said, there's a system here to work this out. I took these issues over a period of 6-7 years up through the chain of command, step by step by step, and at every chain, at every point. Somebody said to me, well, I know there's issues. However, it's not your cross to bear. Da-da. Okay, well, it is my cross to bear. Now, first of all, I'm an American citizen. You know, the way I say it is I am an American. Okay? That's important to me. Therefore, it is my cross to bear. But let's see what the management will do about it. They never would do anything about it. We were required by Executive Order 12674 to report fraud, waste, abuse, and corruption to the appropriate authority. The big word there is appropriate. If I tell you there's a problem here and you blow me off, you're no longer appropriate. I did that all the way up to and including the president's office. I mean, over to the White House. There was no appropriate authority within the U.S. Department of Justice in the executive branch at all to address the issues I brought forward. There was no appropriate authority. And so finally, through the U.S. Congress and the Inspector General's office, we took the issues to the American people. And by golly, the American people are the appropriate authority. If we don't like what's going on, we don't need to pick up arms. We have mechanisms. It's very costly to use those mechanisms. They will send you to the shrink, just like out of the old Soviet Union. Oh, well, he's a troubled man. They'll take you from your office in one place and put you in another. They'll harass your wife. They snide comments, give you bad performance appraisals. Well, it never happened to me, but it happened to a number of my colleagues. All of those kinds of things that say, wow, these people are not going to address the problem. They're going to try and shut it down. Well, you know, when the President of the United States has refused to require the U.S. Department of Justice and the FBI to obey federal law, Federal Whistleblower Act, they just never obeyed it. They just, well, it doesn't apply to us. That means those people consider themselves above the law, and in this country, no one is above the law. No one. Not even the president.
And we see this system everywhere, where 800-plus cities are sanctuary cities, where illegal aliens here in Austin can drunk drive and kill people, and they get released. But citizens get the book thrown at them because politically the government wants more illegals here for whatever reason. I mean, that's just another example. Now, from your experience, what percentage of crime lab people thought somebody was guilty and so they planted the evidence, like with what happened with O.J. Simpson with the LAPD? And then, and I know it's not an exact number, versus what percentage were just sloppy and didn't care?
Well, you know, there's another percentage, sir, and that's the people who work very, very hard and really do care. What happens in the crime lab is they've got the data, and back when I was involved with this system, and I still am, but gradually we've come out of it, they're stuck with this issue. The issue is, well, the guy's probably guilty of something. If I report this stuff, I'm going to lose my job. So what's more important, my family or my oath of office and my nation? And that's a hard decision to make when the President of the United States himself doesn't care. I mean, you know, what do you do? Well, you finally have to find an answer within yourself. This is my country. I am an American, and I'm not going to tolerate this.
Stay there. Long segment coming up. We've got to stand up. When we see wrongdoing or corruption, we've got to stand up. Absolutely, the solution is in the mirror. We'll be right back. Is our guest going right back to him. So there's these three or four groups. There's people who mean well, and you were telling me during the break, but are fed fake evidence. There's some in there that actually frame people or make the decision. There's others that are just lazy. There's others that want attention. It's just that with all these city crime labs, it comes out that they are just framing people in mass. And we'll talk about some of those cases as well. But I tend to agree with you that things are actually getting better. It just looks like things are worse because now we're lancing the wound. We're seeing the pus.
Yes, sir.
It'd be like if you're at a serial killer's back 40 and you dig up the 25 bodies, things aren't getting worse. You've actually stopped the serial killer. You've got him in custody now. It just looks like it's getting worse because you've now discovered the crime.
You got it. You know, they call them crime labs sometimes because the crime is in the lab. But, you know, the labs are frankly completely, absolutely overwhelmed, overworked. I just read an article during the break about San Francisco crime lab. They're doing 7,000 cases or, you know, each exam. There's no way you could do science that fast, period. And, you know, what's amazing to me is San Francisco touts itself as one of the most progressive think tanks, if you will, in the country. I'm not sure about that because I'm from North Carolina, but that kind of thing that's going on in San Francisco has been happening for years, and we've brought it to the attention to those folks out there, and judges don't do anything about it, courts don't do anything about it, defense attorneys are overwhelmed, the lab's overwhelmed, and well, okay. If what happens in crime labs happened in clinical laboratories, there'd be bodies all over the place. But there'd also be lawsuits. You know, these people have immunity from lawsuit. If a doctor carried out his business like crime labs carry on their business, he wouldn't be a doctor very long. So this state immunity that you've got in the crime labs as well as no audit function. There's no outside audit function at all. You know, you'll be told the American Society of Crime Laboratory Directors audits these labs. My goodness, they've been auditing these labs for years. Nothing's happened. That's just a good old boy network. So you've got a human enterprise that has no oversight at all, sir. None. And on top of that, the oversight system that's supposed to work, which is the court system, is completely overwhelmed. We want to arrest people all over this country for all kinds of things. We're successfully doing it, as you mentioned. We have the largest per capita prison population in the world. But there's just a point at which the system breaks, and it breaks pretty quickly under this kind of overload. The bad people in the system relieve the stress of the overload by just lying, by doing something very often called dry labbing. Dry labbing means you didn't even conduct the analysis. You simply took a chart out of a drawer and labeled it as if it came from the analysis and go on to the next case. You've got an overloaded system without any outside oversight. It's easy to institute that oversight, but the government doesn't allow it to happen. Our government, your listeners, do not allow the laboratories in the state of Texas to be audited by independent audit functions. When there's a problem, the government decides who's going to audit your labs. That's crazy. I'm saying that the government officials, law enforcement, not some entity. Here's an example. Clinical laboratories have to answer to the Clinical Laboratory Improvement Act of 1991. It takes more oversight to determine you have a sore throat than to execute you, sir. You can be executed because of a crime laboratory that has no oversight at all, but a doctor going into your throat to determine if you have a sore throat has a paperwork trail that he's very well aware could take away his license to practice. So So we have a system out of control. Until the people decide, and this falls right back in the seat of your listeners, sir, until they decide this is not going to happen, I am not going to be threatened by this, let's just put it in place. Oh, it's going to cost some money. Here in North Carolina, we put daylilies in the middle of our highways. Down there in Texas, you put bluebonnets. Okay? Let's put a few less bluebonnets, and let's get auditors, not crime laboratory people, auditors, in to look at those labs. Well, is that going to happen? It's not going to happen unless the people that are in Texas and the United States decide enough is enough.
All right, Dr. Whitehurst, let's bring this down to the bottom line.
Yes.
Every major police department I've ever even randomly Googled has had big scandals with their crime labs, and that's with most states having almost no oversight. It's you know, the same thing as the National Security Act of 47, where U.S. intelligence has almost no oversight, unlimited secret budgets, can do whatever they want. And, of course, the CIA had to admit in 96 with their inspector general that they were shipping in cocaine. Because if you give people that much power and allow them to run wild with no oversight, criminals are going to run to get into those positions of power, because inside a government position, they can get away with murder where they couldn't get away with it as a private criminal. We know that high-functioning psychopaths gravitate towards government positions. We know that's the basic criminology. This is common sense. That's why 9 times out of 10, you get a tyranny, not a free society. Freedom is a precious jewel that Thomas Jefferson said, even if you defend it, you're probably going to lose it. And so we know that these crime labs, by and large, are a fraud. There's this crisis of confidence as we learn that there's all this fraud. And instead of crime labs now, they're moving to new quackery that makes lie detector tests that have been proven to be a fraud pale in significance. They have fake brain scanners. They have all these other systems that supposedly show if you're really guilty and have been proven to be frauds, quackery. We have all these fake informants lying about people, setting people up, being caught over and over again, lying for money. We have police and all these scandals admitting that they lied on the stand and that it's condoned. So there is this culture of corruption from the top going down throughout the system. And you say the people have to fix it. We know we have the biggest prison population in the world. It's ballooning everywhere. What do we do then if the system is just rotting from the head down and there's just so much corruption?
Well, you know, I might add to that, the safest place for a serial criminal in the United States is in a crime laboratory, because he can get away with it again and again and again, and there's no oversight, and he's immune from prosecution. And you can count on your left hand the number of these folks that have been prosecuted. You know, if you put a man away for 18 years with a lie, then by golly, you ought to go take his place and finish out his term, and your retirement check ought to go into helping the country pay that man what he's owed. But what is the solution? We've got a society here where the solution is. It's at the polls. It's at, you know, I'm a child of the 60s. I'm 62 years old now, and I remember people became involved. We weren't attached to an iPhone and an iPod and a whatever computer screen. We got up and we saw what was going on around us, and we raised our voices. I'm not saying raise your gun. I do not believe in that kind of revolution. I was in Vietnam for 3 years, and I don't want that happening in my country. But we have the ability here. Nobody killed me yet. It's just, you know, in some countries, that'd be amazing. I'd have been dead 20 years ago. Nobody shot me. Now, they made life miserable for me and my family and people around me that supported what I was saying, but we weren't killed. You have the right to come forward and do something to collect the data. One of the things Forensic Justice Project does, sir, is we're tracking all the victim defendants. I'm not saying defendants or victims. I'm saying victim defendants of the individuals that were pointed out in the investigation of the FBI crime lab. That's a really neat project. In most of our states, we have open records. Citizen groups can take the iPod out of their ear and petition the government for the names of every case that bad guys ever worked. And then go find those people, find out if they're in prison, if they've been executed, and we can do that passing the information around all over the country, and we will launch and have launched an army doing that. When one man goes to jail, sir, he has a family and he has friends, and if they know he's innocent and they see the system do that to him, they do respond. They just don't throw their hands up.
And we've already won the first stage of the battle. We've gone from 20 years ago, the average person saying, no way the police ever frame anybody, to the population in polls, no, they frame whoever they want, whenever they want, and it's causing people to realize this is a fraud. A lot of innocent people are getting out of prison. When you talk to the average police officer or current FBI agent or other whistleblowers that you talk to, you know, the average cop on the beat, because I know you travel around the country and talk to folks, does the average cop realize how incredibly corrupt the system is, and do they defend it?
You know what? I think I was on the inside of the FBI, and I saw this stuff. And I saw how sick people were at the things that were going on, from voucher fraud to time and attendance sheet fraud to you know, you go to court and there's a whole crew there and one of the guys is obviously lying, and you know that they're sick about it. They're sick about it. But, sir, you know, the structure we have right now forces those people, those good people, to decide between their family security or their oath of office. And that's a dilemma we shouldn't put in their hands. They should know that when they come forward with valid, documented proof that that guy who did what he did will not be protected by his what do you call him in the Bureau, his juice man, not be protected by his management structure, will be tried in a court of law as a criminal, a serial criminal, and sent to prison. No immunity. You lied under oath. You lied under oath, you're going away. You altered evidence, you're going away. There's a man I've been tracking since 1989. That's 21 years now, sir, and collecting information on. It's well known he lied in the trial of a federal judge. Well documented. It was documented 4 years after he did it. The FBI covered it up for 9 more years. They then admitted it, but said the issue was too stale. They wouldn't revisit it. The man retired with full retirement. And 4 years, 5 years later, the FBI rehired him as a contract employee, and he's now involved in national security issues. So I'm tracking. I want to know everything about every day he ever spent in the FBI, and it's kind of fascinating. They're doing everything they can to stop us from it. I'm 62. I've probably got another 20 good years.
So the answer is we have to pick a criminal and hound them and bring them to justice. And with the internet, we can. That's what I've always said.
Yes,
if a politician,
you don't need to hound them. As citizens, hounding is what you need is just to collect the data. Collect the data, and as a citizen group, and it's a fascinating thing. Any bit of data, by the way, I've got, I'll give away to anybody.
Well, doctor, when I say hound, I mean a hound just keeps tracking and never stops.
Yes, sir.
That's what I mean by hounding.
An old terrapin. You just go after them. You bite onto that. You do not denigrate. You do not slander. You just collect the data. And I've got 6,000-7,000 FBI files under Freedom of Information Act now. I've only processed about 1/5 of those. And the stuff that's coming out of those files is phenomenal. You need to remember while you're doing this, just because one man lied in a trial does not make the defendant innocent or guilty. It means one man lied. And that defendant, a fellow citizen, no matter what he was accused of doing, deserves the right to a fair trial. This is America, sir. He deserves the right to a fair trial. And if the government won't give it to him, the elected government, the appointed government, then the government called the people, and we are the government of this country, can give it to him.
Absolutely. Let's shift gears for a moment. Here's the New York Times. DNA evidence can be fabricated, science to show.
Yes,
they also admit that the police know how to take your prints, create a silicon copy, and plant them wherever they want.
Yes,
I've been warning the public about this for a decade. It's now becoming mainstream news. But we see the media now selling DNA as if it's 100%. They want a federal DNA database. They've been taking blood from babies for more than 30 years for a secret Pentagon database that's now been declassified. I see this as a new fraud where they can arrest you, take your blood, plant it, and then say, oh, we know you did it.
That's right. So, sir, it's not the science. It is the scientist that we must concern ourselves with. And anyone that is accused should audit that work product. And that's an extremely expensive process, extremely, to audit that work product. But, you know, this lady at the San Francisco lab had been there 29 years. I know I was in a trial, a hearing about 3-4 years ago, in which her word was overrode mine before a federal judge. And there she was, as addicted to crack cocaine, as a violent criminal with a gun, and the court accepted what she said. Well, I'm not going to let that go. You know, that thing of educating, and let's put it out on the mainstream, here's where we've won, sir. When I first joined the FBI in 1982, there was no media denigration at all of the FBI. Now, if you see a movie they're in, they're the clowns. If you know, their reputation of the FBI has been soiled by those people. By those people that cross the blue line and tarnish their badge, it's been soiled, and the FBI didn't take care of it. So the FBI is this horrible public relations deal to overcome. But the American people know it through their culture. You know, there's a show on television called Dexter. He's a serial criminal. He works in the crime lab. Well, where do you think that idea came from? It came from, it's almost daily in the news that a crime lab has had trouble. I think we need to be careful that we don't trash every crime lab technician out there. We just need to question their work product very closely.
We need to keep them honest, and we know there's a major problem here. And it's important when you've got a big military-industrial complex owning and building more prisons, and they want to cram us all in them. It's a life and death situation that we point out to people that these groups can't be trusted, and we've got to keep them honest.
Why should we trust them? A scientist does not trust the work of another scientist. He always questions if that's science.
Look at Al Gore saying cannot question the global warming hypothesis. And it turns out hundreds of universities under UN control working together in a concerted fraud.
You know, that's one of these. The kids now say, duh. I mean, I can't imagine anybody trusting Al Gore, sir. I frankly can't. I better not get started on that.
No, let's get started on it. I mean,
I'm a PhD chemist, okay? I mean, I've got a degree in chemistry besides having a law degree, okay? And I looked at what that man was doing, and I said, oh, my gosh, this is in the White House. Come on. And what a absolute buffoon he was. And we're not even describing it as buffoonery. I mean, oh, my goodness. And so what do we have? We've got this. Now we don't know whether there's global warming or not, sir. We really don't know because, you know, there's some good scientists out there that believe it, but there's some frauds out there that are pushing it like Y2K. You remember the Y2K thing?
I do remember. Stay there, Doc. Final segment with Dr. Frederick Whitehurst, also a lawyer, former FBI agent. He headed up the forensic area of the FBI crime lab. Here's CBC, and I've got another one here at CBS. Pill with antenna ensures patients take meds. They make you eat a microchip to make sure you're taking your meds, part of the medical dictatorship. Police all over the U.S. and in England now break into your house and conduct mock robberies to show you that you don't have enough security. I mean, they're just really going criminal here. They're telling us torturing people's children is a way to get Al-Qaeda to talk. They're trying to warp our minds, and Dr. Frederick Whitehurst, one of the top guys at the FBI crime lab who blew the whistle back in the late 90s, was it 1996, Doctor?
Well, actually, the whistleblowing, if you'll call it that, started in about 1992 and went to about 1998.
Sure, but I just remember seeing it peaking there in the mid-90s.
Yeah, that's correct.
I was talking to you during the break, and I was saying the government knows they're losing all credibility. They're trying to recruit criminals, not just into the upper ranks, but mid and even lower. They're trying to perfect a tyranny. They don't intend on fixing any of this because they don't think it's broken. They want to go with a full authoritarian takeover. And you said, absolutely, that's what I see happening. Can you speak to that?
I think what's happening there is they are not going to address these issues. They're going to bully people that bring them forward. you know, if we're willing to just go to day-to-day and let things happen, they're going to bully people that are bringing these things forward. Now, and I believe that. If you're up top and you're going to lose your cushy job because it turns out that your laboratory is a mess or that you're the problem or whatever, and that's what I went through with the FBI labs, sir. And so what you end up with is criminals essentially moving up to the top. They had an oath of office. That's a sacred oath. I don't know what people do when they raise their right hand and take a oath of office. Some of them are probably swatting at flies. I wasn't swatting at flies. I had an oath of office. And by the way, I won't give it up just because they let me go. I'm not giving it up. I'm not an FBI agent, but I am an American. And so what happens, they're above the law. They can do anything and get away with it. And they do anything and get away with it. They've got the control over how to put the information out, or think they do. This internet thing is beautiful because we can talk to each other. I don't see massive conspiracies, sir. I just see a lot of people that shouldn't be in control in our nation are in control. And, you know, as I said to you before, that Senate Bill 372 is an example. If you read it, it's an appalling example of what they want to do. They want to get control over good law enforcement officers, good FBI agents, good government employees, and shut them down. Anybody that would propose that is showing his stripes for what he is. The fact that that would get even into consideration in the U.S. Senate is crazy. They're talking about shutting down any oversight whatsoever of the FBI.
And that's SB 372. And in closing, I've studied history. I'm sure you've studied it. Lawyer, FBI agent, scientist, chemist. In every case, once people give in to a little corruption, then it's a little more. Then worse criminals get in, more ruthless get in. And it always just gets worse and worse until it's Hitler or Mao Zedong. And we're racing towards that now. I don't think people understand this is do or die. This is an all or nothing exercise for the evil people. And it's an all or nothing exercise for the good guys.
Well, I think I agree with you. But when we say all or nothing, sir, we're talking about lawful disobedience of this, lawfully saying no. I am not talking about militia, and I am not talking about violence. I'm talking about the tools that we have in our society being used effectively by people who get up out of the armchair and just say, I'm not going to let this happen.
I absolutely agree with you. Folks can visit whistleblowers.org, find out more about under Frederick Whitehurst and other great people that are standing up against tyranny. Doc, great having you on with us. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Retransmission starts now at InfoWars.com. Great job with the crew. Pray for us. We pray for you. God bless.